Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brew-Built X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brew-Built Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brew-Built line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brew-Built X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brew-Built conicals. You can trust Brew-Built with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brew-Built at morebeer.com.
This episode is brought to you by Dermalogica and the iconic Daily Microfoliant. This bestseller gently exfoliates away dirt and debris to reveal instantly smoother, brighter skin. Add it to your daily routine to minimize blackheads and dullness while improving the look of dark spots, even on sensitive skin. Try it yourself and discover why it's a fan favorite. Shop now at Dermalogica.com/Spotify and use code Spotify for a special gift with purchase.
Home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, beer drinkers.
Get ready for an all-new experience in information exchange and beer culture.
Your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers from around the globe
right to your home.
You're not just listening to broadcasters. It's the Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Sunday, October 9th, it's the Brewing Network show, and John is barely alive.
Good cup of coffee here.
Hey. I was surprised you left so early this morning. Man, we got up 9-ish and got over there, and you were got long gone.
I was gone.
Yeah,
I'm the hell out of there.
You look all right, John.
I appreciate it.
I'm lying. You look terrible, man.
I do. My voice has dropped. I can't talk.
You look like me after the Portland show.
I wasn't hungover, but I drank a fair amount of stout last night with you. So
yeah, we did. We had a good time. What we're talking about is the Brewcasters here. Doc, myself, John all went to the NorCal Homebrew Festival this weekend. And also our guest today, Peter from Bison Brewery, he was there. And we had ourselves a good old time. So we're going to give you a little rundown of that in a minute. But yeah, that's the deal. Hey, you know, I just realized our intro says, like, expert brewers from around the globe.
California.
Like, I mean, unless you count our listeners who call in, some of those are experts, and they call in from around the globe, but not, we haven't exactly had, like, you know, anybody outside of California on the show.
Not yet, at least.
I mean, as far as even we've got booked is maybe John Mayer, and he's in Oregon, right? So I should change our intro. Expert brewers from around the West Coast.
He should.
Well, where have you been in your life?
Yeah. You've traveled, huh?
That's true. Have you ever been outside of
California?
I've never lived outside California.
But you've been there.
Yeah, I've been there.
Okay, so he's well-traveled.
He's an around-the-globe brewer.
There we go.
How about that?
Let's slide that one in there.
Today's show, we're going to be talking about adjuncts a little bit later on. And Peter here from Bison, they brew lots of beers with adjuncts added to them. So kind of the perfect guest, I think, for that show. And in particular, they just won, was it silver?
That's correct. We got a silver medal it wasn't in the chocolate beer category. It was in the foreign extra stout category at the Great American Beer Festival. So
for your chocolate stout, though?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in there. We wanted it to battle out against the rest of the stouts and not try and stick it in some niche category with only a couple entries.
Yeah, absolutely. So. That's awesome. All right, cool. So we'll be talking about how you got that to be so tasty. And then several other ones, too. I'm trying to remember if I saw a pumpkin beer on your menu.
There used to be a pumpkin beer years ago at Bison.
Okay.
But we're talking about possibly bringing that back for next year. Okay. It's a little late this year. Our seasonal right now is a honey basil, and that's going to take the specialty skew instead of the pumpkin beer.
Okay.
So, and we already do a spiced ale. So.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, good. So we're going to get some good discussion about that. John, and you know you don't do many adjunct beers anyway, do you?
I like barley, hops, water, yeast.
Yeah. And coffee right now.
Coffee.
John's sorting out the coffee.
I'm going to blend his beer later with this. So.
That's a good idea, yeah. Actually. Coffee stout. What was the stout we finished off the night with? It was just a regular nitro stout, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an English stout. Yeah. It was an American. It was on nitrogen. It was really good.
Yeah, it was good and clean. Yeah.
Where'd you find that?
You had it, too.
Did I?
Yeah.
After four shots of bourbon.
Jim, one of the organizers of the festival, had brewed it. It was in the tent right next to the B3 tent.
So. Okay. Oh, is that where we're...
Yeah. Same guy who brewed the schnapps.
Okay.
It wasn't schnapps. It was...
It's a whiskey.
It was a whiskey he had made, yeah, that you were drinking.
That was homemade?
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You guys want to do the regular thing, the news and the top 10, or you want to start talking about the NCHF first?
Do the top 10.
Yeah. You want to do all that stuff? All right. I've only got a couple news stories today anyway. They are good ones, though. A bit of an update of the Louisiana situation and people in New Orleans. Some of them are still being asked to leave their homes, because of disease and flood water still being pumped out and things like that, and they're refusing to. And this is just an interesting story I found about it. Story goes that many stubborn New Orleans residents are refusing to leave their homes, and some are making clear their determination to stay in a style that could come only from the hard-drinking good time city. Kurt Belton, a Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agent in charge of boats touring the city, he told on Tuesday a story of a message found in a wine bottle drifting in floodwaters along Canal Street in the entertainment district. And inside the bottle was a note that said, "To whom it may concern, please send immediately one ice-cold chest of Coors Light. I'm out at this time, down to wine. Some shrimp and oysters would also be appreciated. Thank you," said the note, which was signed and gave an address. Belton said the patrol then went to the home and found the author sitting on his front porch, who, between sips of wine, told them he was staying and had enough wine to last quite a few days. So the guy who found it said he was going to frame the note because it was pure New Orleans. The emergency official said that of the 15 to 20 people his patrol encountered in homes on Monday, only one agreed to leave. And he said that there's just a ton of people still out there. He said they don't want to come, and the main reason they're giving us is their pets, he said. And he also said that that's crazy. Although,
that is crazy.
I wouldn't have left my pet either.
No.
I'd sit right there on the roof with her.
Yeah, drinking your beer.
Drinking my beer and wine. I also might have done the message in a bottle, too, if I was out of beer.
Yeah, you would probably.
Wouldn't ask for Coors Light.
No, I wouldn't, because there's plenty of water around already, right? You don't need to ask for more of that. But, yeah, drinking wine for days on end. But I did see, a lot of the pictures on the news of these pets just literally sitting on roofs, nowhere to go. And of all the evacuations, pets were not allowed to come. And even in the emergency rescues afterward, if a resident was sitting there with their pet, they would not take the pet.
Wow.
They had nowhere to put them. And I don't think I'd leave my dog either.
No.
Because it's just so sad. Like, they don't know what's happening. They're just sitting on a roof. They can't, figure out that you had to leave. All they know is that you're not there and they're on a friggin' roof. It's bad news. So I think that's a perfectly good reason to stay.
Yeah.
All right, and then for Daniela, my next story is a little info about the Oktoberfest. Why are you angry at me? What's wrong with you? Daniela had all this Oktoberfest information to give us last week, and I apparently never gave her the chance to give it. So now I've got the information this week. It's the post-Oktoberfest information. As you all know, it's just a huge event, and the amount of people there is staggering. The two-week Oktoberfest drew to a close just this past Monday, and organizers said more people visited this year, but they drank less beer than in 2004. Director, I don't know if it's Gabrielle, I think it's Gabrielle Weishappel, said some 6.1 million people came to the 172nd edition of the world's biggest beer drinking festival, which is up from last year's 5.9 million. So 6.1 million people under those tents. Danielle, how big of
all
a stretch
drinking.
Are we? Like, what's the space that we're talking here? Can you give her the microphone, John?
Yeah.
Is it like two blocks? Is it a mile? What's the amount of?
It's not a mile. It's like, I don't know, you guys would probably measure in like football fields. I would say probably like 6 football fields or so, maybe. It's pretty big space, but you have also over 2 weeks to have all those 6.1 million
still,
in there. Well, it's a lot of people, and it's finally raising again, the numbers of people who come. How much beer did they drink?
Let's see. Well, first, the fest ran for 17 days this year, which is one longer than usual. It ran into Monday, which was the annual Unity Day holiday.
Great.
Which I think is the holiday that celebrates...
Unity.
Yeah, but it actually celebrates when Knight Rider did his singing at the wall.
His name
down,
is
right?
David Hasselhoff.
Oh, sorry. That's the Unity Day is actually the David Hasselhoff Day. He's
big in the Germany.
Yeah, he's huge. So that's what they're celebrating.
Fuck you.
Weisshoppel said this year's visitors downed nearly 13 million pints of beer, which is a drop of about 5% from last year.
It's a drop? Really?
Yeah, 13 million pints, a drop from last year. However, partygoers washed down more food this time. The number of roast oxen rising to 95 from 89. The festival director said about 70% of this year's visitors came from Munich and elsewhere in Bavaria, with 15% each coming from the rest of Germany and abroad. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So lots of people there this year, but less drinking.
No, that's surprising. Maybe it's the beer prices, though, you know, like almost $8 for a liter. That's just crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
Well.
So there you go. That's the news this week. There wasn't much else exciting going on in the world of beer, unless you wanted reports about which beer companies buying the other beer companies. I can always find that crap. Always stuff happening at Coors and in Europe with, I guess it's Molson Coors. They're always moving shit around.
Yeah.
But that's boring, so I don't report
on it. How do you prepare as a brewer, 15 million drinks?
Yeah, that's this guy's. I wonder how long. Are they starting to brew right now for next year's fest?
You have to.
Yeah, it must be something like that. Probably they're taking a week off and then they gotta.
Well, we should do the math, figure out how many gallons.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a ton of beer.
I don't think you could do the math right now, could you?
No. Oz.
I've had some cool listeners this week I'm going to tell you guys about, too. All right, top 10 list. I mentioned this one last week. It's been around for a while, but maybe some of you hadn't heard it. I've not read it on the air, but I've seen it around the internet. It's the top 10 reasons why beer is better than religion. Have you heard this one, Doc? You ever seen this list?
Yeah, so probably some of them are different, but yeah.
Okay, and I just want to give a disclaimer. I'm neither for nor against. I don't, whatever you believe, and it's just humor here, folks. It's just funny. All right.
Take it too seriously.
All right, number 10 of the top 10 reasons why beer is better than religion. No one will kill you for not drinking beer. Number 9, beer doesn't tell you how to have sex.
It helps you.
Although sometimes it dictates it, doesn't it?
doesn't tell you when not to.
Yeah. Helping ugly people have sex.
Number 8, beer has never caused a major war. It's true. Number 7, they don't force beer on minors who can't think for themselves. That's true. Although sometimes I think it was forced on me.
Yeah.
Shut up, son. Drink.
Yeah. Number 6, when you have a beer, you don't knock on people's doors trying to give it away. Number 5, nobody's ever been burned at the stake, hanged, or tortured over his brand of beer. Although some people should be, maybe. Number 4, you don't have to wait 2,000 years or more for a second beer.
Oh my God.
I like that one, that's good. Number 3, there are laws saying beer labels can't lie to you. That's true. Not allowed to lie in a beer label. Number 2, you can prove that you have a beer. And number 1, if you've devoted your life to beer, there are groups to help you stop. There should be religious groups to help you stop. Maybe not. All right, there you go. So that's the top 10 reasons why beer is better than religion. And now on to our recap. However fresh in John's memory it may be, this year's NCHF, the NorCal Homebrewers Festival. And what this is, basically, Northern California consists of anywhere from around the Bay Area all the way up to the Oregon border.
We had some Oregon club. We had an Oregon club from Portland.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Okay.
And some Reno clubs.
Okay. So it's a little triangle as you get closer up there with Oregon, Nevada, and California. So you get groups like that, and basically it's an annual festival that they just, you bring your homebrews out. All these clubs come out. They bring, whatever homebrews they choose to bring. Some of them should be choosier than they actually were. And they set up, these booths. It's fairly small, but it's a good community of people.
Each club has a booth. How many clubs do you know?
I'd say like 15, 16 clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely something like that. So it's not really, you know, it's not for commercial beer, although on the Friday night before the festival, they do have a big six-course meal, and commercial brewers will come in and pair their beers with that meal. So that's kind of cool. Each course, they get to talk about a beer and pair it with that. But then Saturday's pretty much dedicated to homebrewers. They got some professionals in there to talk. John Mayer from Rogue. I'll talk about him a little bit later. He was there speaking. Sean O'Sullivan, who was on the show a couple weeks ago from 21st, he was there speaking. Peter was supposed to, but they misdirected him in what time he was supposed to be there. So that was cool. You get that kind of stuff. And basically the other thing is you just kind of go around and you taste people's beer. And hopefully you get to talk to the brewer if you like that beer. And I've got several observations for you guys from this festival, because it's my first big homebrew type of event.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. I'm not a member of a club. I've been to a couple of the Doe's meetings, so I see what's happening there. I've been to, you guys know the Oregon Beer Festival, but that's all commercial beer.
It's totally different. Yeah.
But I've not been around that many homebrewers in an organized festival type setting before. So for me, there's a lot of interesting things that go on. And I was inspired in several ways. I'll tell you that. The first thing I was inspired about was to make better beer. And also felt a lot better about my beer having tasted some of the stuff that people are pouring there. I'm just going to be honest because that's what I do here. I'm going to say 90% of what I drank. I won't go as far as to say the beer that was there because I didn't taste everything.
You came close.
Yeah.
I gave it a good effort.
Yeah.
There's just some bad stuff there.
Yeah.
And the only thing that bothers me about that, because I've obviously brewed bad beer and so is everybody else, is that they apparently have no idea that, and I'm not just talking a little bit bad, I'm talking there's some fungus in there that is obviously there. And I'm not quite sure why you would bring that to a festival.
They don't know.
Serve it to people.
Yeah, there's just definitely some off flavors and some big time problems. And
I hate the yeasty beers.
They got to be polite because the guy's serving it with a smile too.
Yeah. Well, now so this is my other. This is the thing that I didn't like most about the festival is not that they were pouring bad beer, it's that you're not really allowed to be honest and kind of tell people what's what. Because they, people take pride in their beer, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm just not that way. I do take pride in my beer, but I'd rather you be honest with me about it in every aspect of it than tell me it's good if it's not. But you can tell when you're talking to these people. Like, there was one person that I said, what's wrong with that? Because I just couldn't take it anymore. I had gone through like three or four booths of saying, oh, yeah, great.
Got a dump bucket?
Yeah. And so finally, this one was just obviously infected. And I just, hey, what's wrong with that? In a nice way, right? I didn't say, I didn't spit it out onto his lap.
Onto him, yeah.
And he just kind of, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
And he really kind of tightened up. And so I realized you can't do that.
It's not the forum for that. That's the kind of thing that we do at the beer club.
Yeah.
People bring their beers in, you taste them, and you get feedback for it.
Okay.
But this festival is really not that kind of forum to be tearing down somebody's beer.
Well, but you don't have to be, I just mean you have to pretend that you like it.
I
don't really
you.
Like pretending anything.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. It's uncomfortable, and frankly, I'm not good at it. I can tell that I'm speaking one thing and my face is saying something else as I'm drinking this guy's beer.
It's pretty obvious, dude. You suck.
I'm terrible at it, So I didn't like that part, and if I were to set up a booth there with my beer, I would put signs on it that said, honest people
feedback.
Only. Honest feedback
right.
only. Don't drink my beer if you won't. Because to really encourage people to.
That's how you're going
to
learn.
Exactly. Yeah. And I would want to know. And, for example, someone like you, John, or Dr. Scott came up and drank my beer. Man, would I get some good feedback out of what was wrong with it. And what a waste, I think, not to get that. So when I'm walking around with you, for example, Doc, and you and I said a couple of things in trying to be nice and talk about what was happening, I got what you were hinting at, but they didn't.
Yeah.
I just think what a waste of a visitor like you tasting their beer, because you really could have said, I'm going to tell you, if you do this next time, you're going to be golden.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just think that's kind of a waste because you could have helped out. But I guess you're right. It's not really a forum for that. I just find it hard to walk around and pretend.
Mostly what I felt, you know, a lot of the off flavors and things, and most of the problems was fermentation temperature for most of these things.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of fusel alcohols and a lot of esters that really shouldn't have been there.
Yeah. Even one of the competition beers, because there was also a competition.
Yeah.
One of the what were the two
categories? The Pilsner and the Stout.
Okay.
And
one of the Pilsners tasted like my extra special butter that I brewed that one time. It was all diacetyl, and one of those, man, it really was the same. It was all diacetyl. With that said, because I really I don't want to knock down all of those, I did enjoy some great beers there too.
There was a few that just shined.
Yeah. So I don't want any of our listeners to think that these are all bad brewers. I drank some really good stuff, and I met some really cool people. One that sticks out of my head right now is that raspberry brown ale.
That was interesting.
That I had. I thought it was an interesting conversation, a combination to do a brown and then put in an adjunct like raspberry, and he just did it so clean
and
balanced. I couldn't. He wasn't there, and nobody in the booth knew who brewed it anyway. That was kind of the other thing. If you went to your booth, the Doe's booth, y'all knew who brewed what. Now, of course, you didn't have 15 different brewers. You only had what, three of yours beer there for?
Four or five.
Yeah. Okay. We had 15 beers going.
So if people had questions to ask, they could get to you. But a lot of the other booths, you couldn't. I think I got to only one of the brewers, and that was the guy that I pissed off by saying, "What's wrong with that?" what are you gonna do? But you know, with that said about the bad beer, it was a great festival and a good time, and I did like a lot of the other qualities, which was getting to mingle with brewers in general, who are an interesting breed in themselves. Did some arm wrestling with John at an arm wrestling competition there.
Sore, man.
Yeah, I'm a little sore myself.
It's really bad today.
Yeah, we're out of shape, man. Yeah. I had to switch from my beer drinking hand, my right hand. I had to hold my glass in my left for a couple hours after the arm wrestling because my right one was all weak and shaky. After that. John, you put up a good fight.
I did.
I think you threw the match in the end, though. I think you let me win.
What's that?
I think you let me win.
You kicked my ass.
Really?
But I was fighting you.
Yeah, you put up a good fight. It was funny. He was yelling at me.
Yeah.
For those of you who think that John's Mr. Nice Guy all the time. Hey, you put a couple beers in this kid and get him around his element, which is the brew community. John's really comfortable in there because he knows what he's doing and he knows a lot of those guys. And because he works for B3, so, you know, they deal with him. Man, you put him there, he's a different cat.
He talks shit, boy.
Oh, yeah, he's yelling at everybody.
I was yelling at you all day.
Oh, man, every time I look at him, he's giving me the finger.
Did you like that?
You know? And he's, you know, he's pointing out people. He's like, hey, that guy over there, he's a dick. And I'm like, John, what's happening with you, man?
Wow.
I like that. John's a different guy.
You gotta let it out sometimes, man.
He's singing songs later at night around the campfire, and he just starts yelling during them. He's got a lot of pent-up anger in this guy. You know.
That would overwhelm, too. Like, stupid song.
Yeah, yeah. Because he's in retail at the shop, and he's got to be nice to all those people who come in there. And let's face it, they're not all the most brilliant people on the planet.
No.
And so
a lot of people to deal with, you know.
Yeah. So, man, does it come out of John? That anger just seeps out.
People suck. You know, yeah.
Very pent up.
Yeah. But I recommend going to these kind of festivals. I recommend really getting involved in the homebrew community. The panel of speakers got a lot of good questions from the people that were hanging out there about how to do different things and different styles. You can get a lot out of it. And even if it's just going around and tasting both good and bad beer, you get a lot out of that, you know.
Sure.
Like I said, I really was inspired to brew better beer and to, you know, pay more attention. Because, you know, man, when you taste somebody's good homebrew, you just like, that's great. This guy made this, and it's good. It's really good. And I'd pick that up off the shelf before half of the commercial brews I've ever had.
Yeah.
And that is what I really like about going to that kind of thing.
Like when I found a really good beer, I went out of my way. and be like, hey, well done, man. This is very, very good.
Yeah.
Just look them in the eye and say cheers. You know?
Right, absolutely. So get involved in those kind of things because they're also hard to organize. We talked to the organizers at the end of the night. That's who we ended up drinking with.
What's
it called? It's called, they call it the Dead Palate Society, which is
Lisa Fortes,
after you've been drinking all day, you go back down at like 11, 12, and, whoever's left is still pouring, you drink with them.
That we did.
And that we did. So we're talking to those organizers. That's who we're hanging out with. And there's like eight of them. Just eight of them who organize that, a big event like that, and it takes them all year to do. And my point in saying that is, if you see these things coming up and you have some time, offer your help because not only do they need it, but I guarantee it's rewarding. Sure. I mean, I'm going to try to help them out next year, and I think the Brewing Network is maybe get a booth there, and we're gonna record a show from there, I think, and maybe do a little Beer Jeopardy up on the stage they had set up, and just get people involved like that. I just recommend everybody kind of do that because it helps the brew community.
We should rent one of those dump tanks.
Oh, that's a good idea. Dump the brewer?
Yeah, brewcaster.
Yeah. Why'd you point at me? It has to be me all the time. Meeting listeners out there was awesome, too.
Yeah, we ran into quite a few.
IPA guy, whose name is Guy, is a cool guy. By the way, met him out there. He was real nice. Met Warren out there, and Warren gave us some of his beer, which we're going to try in a little while. Gave us a Russian Imperial Stout.
Good IPA on tap.
Yeah.
The Barf Club, they're called?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Bay Area Regional Fermenters?
Yeah, I think so.
Barf.
And he's like a, he's a grad student right now, spends his life in a lab, and then brews when he's not in a lab. Really nice guy. Yeah. Not a lab type of guy. You know, which you expect to be like kind of hard to deal with and all that. He wasn't. Warren was very cool. I apologize, I don't remember everybody's name, and that's just because I'm retarded.
No, we by the time we met everybody, we had been halfway around the circle.
Yeah, that's true.
So I bet we had 30 beers under our belt.
Yeah, that's true. But I enjoy meeting listeners and getting feedback, and some of them don't have much to say except for cool, and boy, other ones got some things to say. You know? Which is fine, I like that, and,
get alcohol and start talking.
You know. Yeah, yeah. Most of the problems, like, you know, one guy, he and I don't interrupt, because I like to just let them get it out. He rattled off this whole list of problems. And I said, you know, when was the last time you listened? And he's like, oh, the first show. And I'm like, yeah, we had all that fixed by the second show. You should give it another go.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I'll try it.
It's a lot of effort. You think you'd just look again.
Well, I knew that was going to happen. In failing in several aspects of the first show, I knew that was going to be rough on listenership. And people don't like to give technological type of things a second chance because they figure, hey, it either works or it doesn't. And it didn't work, but now it does. So what are you going to do?
Well, we're back where we were.
Yeah.
We should feel better.
Yeah. Right. Back to it not working, you mean?
Yeah.
Gone full circle already.
Yeah.
It's only been 6 months or so. Has it even been that long? I don't know. But yeah.
Seems that way.
So go to these things. And it was awesome to meet listeners. It was very cool. So please don't, if you happen to ever see a Brewing Network shirt on somebody, go talk to them. Say what's up. Don't be shy. We're not... We want to talk to you and find out what's happening.
And Justin can talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to somebody about that who said, you know, you seem to do well in front of people. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I don't mind being in front of people. What I'm not too good at is the interpersonal thing. I don't like being one-on-one so often.
See, I'm the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. You are the opposite. I have to try really hard. It's uncomfortable for me. Because I just feel like I have to entertain all the time. And then when I'm entertaining just one person, I feel like I'm wearing a monkey suit.
It's all in your head.
It is. It's me. It's my psychological issues, but I'm just saying.
I just had a picture of you in a monkey suit.
I'd much rather just have a microphone and talk to everybody than just talk. Yeah. But with that said, I don't mean don't come talk to me because I like that. And it was cool to meet people. So is IPA guy hanging out in the chat room today? Dan, what is wrong with her? I'll ask Peter's in the chat room. You could tell me.
None of the guys you just mentioned are in the chat room tonight.
Oh. They're licking their wounds.
Yeah.
Probably.
What's your problem today, Danielle?
You are my problem.
Why?
Well, because you're telling me all those awesome stories about the beer festival, and I did not get to go, and I'm really upset.
Well, you had to work.
Well, I'm upset about me having to work all the time and you getting to go to those awesome things.
It was work.
It was work?
It was work.
Absolutely.
I know, Dr. Scott.
Come on, you know these things are
well,
work
you got
for
to
me.
Drive in a Hummer, and I've never been in a Hummer.
Yeah, I got to drive Dr. Scott's
That's so
Hummer.
Awesome, really.
And watch him fall off a cliff.
He's backwards.
Yeah. So the Hummer, these things are, you know these things, they're huge on the outside. But when you sit in them, they're still friggin' huge. And so you look out the window and all you see is Hood. And then in this particular case, Dr. Scott, and behind him, Forrest. And Dr. Scott's trying to guide me into this parking spot.
I'm walking backwards.
And he's walking backwards. He's backing up. He's backing up. He's waving me in. And then he just disappears. he just fell
I
in a
so imagine
yeah,
that.
I fell in about a 3-foot ditch.
And I got to be honest, Doc, you know, kind of everyone around was like, oh, man, is he okay? I was in the Hummer laughing my ass off.
I got up laughing.
Oh, by the way, one guy is here. Warren is here.
Okay, Warren. Cool.
Warren says hi to you guys.
Very nice.
Hey, Warren.
And so, Warren's the guy whose beer we have.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So do you guys promise me you're going to take me the next time in Dr. Scott's Hummer?
Yes.
Yes. Very good.
Stuff. Not if you gotta work, they don't.
Thank you, guys.
Well, I'm not
to you, Justin.
I don't want to take any more of this.
By the way, Fancy wants me to slap your face left and right, so done with this.
Who's slapping me?
Fancy Moo Moo.
Listener Fancy Moo Moo. I love that guy.
Fancy Moo Moo Pants.
Is that a get on with it? Is that what he wants me to do? Just get on with the show or just slap me anyway? Just in general. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and taste Warren's Russian Imperial Stout. Does that sound
cool.
good to you guys?
Oh, yeah.
John, are you going to hold up for that? You going to have a little taste?
Yes, I'm going to. I got one cup of coffee down.
All right, I think two songs, and then we'll be right back. It's the Brewing Network. We're here with Peter from Bison Brewery in Berkeley, California, and it's the adjunct show. So right after this tasting we do, we're going to start talking about adjuncts. So get your questions ready. 888-401-BEER, and join us in the chat room.
The Brewing Network. Saving your life.
One beer at a time.
All right, we're back. Gonna get on with the show. But we got a call to take right now, and I think it's Oz's, it's somebody who wants to trash talk me as usual. I think it's Oz's wife, so, let's see. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Di.
Hi, Di.
How you going?
It's going all right. How are you doing?
Good.
You're only our.
To you. I hear you every week.
You do?
Yes.
I thought just Oz listened, but you do. You kind of have to because it's on
I
in the back.
I have to, and several times a week. I should let you know.
I get to listen to the replays.
Absolutely.
All right, and is that a good thing for you, or is it torturous?
About the fifth or sixth time, it's torture.
I gotcha. do you encourage Oz's commitment, or you think he should, get on with his life?
bit of both, actually.
Well, I'm glad he doesn't get on with his life myself. I'd like having him around.
I bet you are. Very knowledgeable.
Yes.
I'm ringing because I have a request.
Okay.
Some better music, please.
As in during the show or when the show's not on?
As in during the show. That's the same music week after week.
Yeah, I agree. The playlists are tough to come by around here because...
I thought I should let you know of a really good Australian band.
Okay. It's not Silverchair, is it?
No. They're called The Waifs.
The Waifs?
Yeah.
And how do you...
I gave John the name.
I think I've heard The Waifs before, actually. Is it...
They've toured the States with Bob Dylan for like 10 years.
Oh, all right.
They're much bigger there than they are here, unfortunately.
Okay. I'm going to need you to email me a link to them or something.
All right. I'll send you their website.
Okay. And if
I... get onto some of their music for the show.
What if I think they're crap? Do I still have to play them?
Well, you'll have to play it in your blues show then.
Oh, okay. Because that's the crap show. All right. I could do that. That's fair enough. I'm happy to take requests. And I agree with you about the music. It's just expensive. To get. So if anybody wants to, illegally send me their music files, I'm happy to take them. I don't care.
Yeah. All right. Well, I might do some of that because, like I said, having to hear it week after week, I'm sick of your playlist.
As am I, Di.
Alrighty.
I appreciate your honesty.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Dan.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
You're begging for honesty earlier.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. And by the way, you sound like a douchebag. Okay.
Fancy just promised us to send pictures of his wife because she's so hot.
Is that right?
Yeah. So we can expect something sweet there.
I wonder, is that how you tell what kind of mood Oz is in? Is whether he logs in as Oz or as in fancy moo moo pants? And say, you know, is if he's feeling playful or not?
Well, he just kicked his wife out of the room.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be here while I'm listening. That's funny. Is Crotch Rot in the chat room? Another listener, Crotch Rot. I think he filmed today the All Grain video that he's been working on for you guys. I don't know if everybody knows about this. I think he'd probably have to be involved in not only our forum, but other ones he's posted in. He's working on an All Grain video that he's going to stream. He's not doing it live, obviously, because it would be a 5-hour, 6-hour stream. But he was supposed to record it today. Crotch, if you get a chance, call us up. I'd like to know how the recording went and see what's up with that. So we're trying to help him out a little bit. We might give him some cash, and I'm supposed to send him some files that I got to do this week. He sent me something. It's looking good.
Nice.
So I'm curious how the filming went, find out how that goes. Good for us extract brewers just to see it and to decide, because I don't think everybody needs to move up to all grain, but you should decide that for yourself. We just found out last week about a commercial brewery that does all extract.
Yeah.
Aren't they booked?
Yeah, Pacific Coast.
Yeah.
Are they next week?
Next week, yeah.
Are you sure it's next week?
I'm positive.
And they're all extract?
All extract.
That's
some,
awesome.
Some mini mashing, but mostly extract.
There's a brew pub in Sacramento that does that, too.
It does that, too?
Yeah.
How do you do that
one?
Much?
Hogshead. Hogshead, yeah.
It's a lot of extract.
We've met them and saw their whole setup.
Yeah. Well, the quality of extract has increased so much from when it first came out, when you'd got it in the can and it was not ideal.
Right.
You can make good beers, especially if you're doing a partial mash. Like, I tell all my friends, if you can boil water, you can make good beer at home just right on your stove. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I don't think that, I mean, I think that I've had some great extract beers. I just never thought that I'd see a commercial extract beer. I think that blew me away. So that'll be a good show next week. I want to talk about that. If you're just tuning in, we're here with Peter from Bison Brewery, and he's going to help us out with our adjunct discussion. Are you looking at pictures of Dye right now?
I am, and I just wanted to announce for everybody who is not logged onto the chat room yet that Crotch actually posted some pictures there already. So
those are the pictures of the
filming. It's actually totally awesome already. It looks really good.
Okay, good.
I think
so
that's going to be nice work, actually.
Cool. All right, so go to that link. If you're not in the chat room, go into the chat room, and this is where you get this kind of insider stuff out of the show. Listeners communicating back and forth, posting pictures, making fun of each other. You don't want to miss out on all that.
No.
All right, let's get to some beer drinking here, huh, John?
Yeah, let's do it.
Warren, give us a call, 888-401-BEER. Gave me this yesterday at the show, so he didn't have to send it because he's a grad student and can't afford the $8 of postage. So we were happy to pick it up from him in person.
Although it traveled better with us. Anyway.
Yeah, it did. It was upright and cold, and I almost forgot to grab it like I knew I would. I said to him during the day, you know, as I'm talking to him.
I saw you look at him like, I don't want to carry this.
Well, I just said, you know, yeah, don't give it to me now because I'll forget it. I just know me. And I'm telling you also, I'm going to forget to come back and get it from you. So I'm telling you, you got to find me and give this to me. Well, I left the festival, went up to the camp. He came and tracked us down because he heard us singing and stuff and handed it to me at like 11:30. So I was really glad he did that.
There was already a request in the chat room for you to be singing the Beer Dork song.
It's not going to happen.
We should do it.
At the end of the show, okay. We'll think about it. We were singing drunken songs and we made up one for John and Dr. Scott's beer club that ended up being very catchily titled the Doe's Beer Dork song.
Everybody was singing along, too.
Yeah.
Every meeting now, Doc. I got to sing that.
Meeting's in session.
Ready?
Make them all sing it.
Yeah.
All right, so what we've got here is Warren's Russian Imperial Stout. And he's on the phone now, so let's find out what's going on with this before we taste it. Warren, you there?
I can pose with him.
Oh, you're not Warren. You're calling at the wrong time, buddy.
Yeah, you big call.
I meant, you're right, I did. I forget about the delay. Now, call back, though.
Okay.
Because we're about to drink some beer. Call me back in 10 minutes.
All right.
All right, sounds good. Idiot. No, I'm just kidding, Crotch. I'm the idiot. I didn't tell him to call. Now, Warren, the phone's not busy anymore. You call. 888-401-BEER, and we're going to take a drink. Did you guys taste it already?
Yes. Yeah. Someone called you a bad name.
I did.
Danielle is laughing at Link pictures over there.
It's Oz's wife.
Yeah. Oh. I couldn't help. I photoshopped it.
Oh, it's this giant, giant woman in a muumuu and has a beard, too. And her
her
belly hangs past the bottom of her muumuu. I know.
And I photoshopped that in for him because, you know, I just had to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you can see, if you look down below the dress, you can see the belly button.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting, man.
What's the link to that? Is it long? Could I announce it on the air? Is it really long? Just go to the forum. Go to our forum and click on the Beer Radio thread, and then in listener picks, just go straight to page 6, although the whole thing is hilarious. But on page 6, you'll find this picture. Is that Warren there? Okay. So let's see what's happening. Hey, Warren.
Hey, Justin. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you today?
I'm doing all right.
Are you hungover?
No, I'm doing pretty well, considering the punishment that I went through over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, plus, you didn't go back down to the Dead Poets Society.
Dead Pellets.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I knew if I did that I probably wouldn't be making the call-in for the show today.
Right. I thought about the same thing, that I need to be prepared for the show, so I thought maybe I shouldn't go. But that only lasted for about 7 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I was like, come on, let's go.
You guys are hardcore.
Yeah, we have to be. All right, so I've not tasted your beer yet. I've taken a smell, and I'll tell you, I can already tell by smell, and it's definitely imperial. Right?
Oh, yeah. Because you can... Yeah. It really tells you, it tastes the alcohol in it.
Yeah. All right, I'm taking a taste here. All right, well, right off the bat, I like it. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
It's a very clean beer.
And I think that the smell of alcohol is actually stronger than the taste of alcohol, and that's a good thing, because I think the roughest part about making a big beer like that is too much of that.
Yeah, hiding it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't get that out of this one. I think it's got a good flavor with that.
What was your gravity on this beer?
That's what I was going to ask you about, if you guys got the recipe or not. Mm-hmm. I can look it up real quick.
Yeah, well, I got it here somewhere.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you got it, Doc, right?
And I do.
Okay, there you go. What do you think, John, about the flavor before we get, while he's reading
it's
that?
It's really clean. It's malty. It's got like a fruity cherryness going on in it.
Yeah.
I think it's from a clean yeast pitch, you know.
Okay.
It's a little sweet for my taste.
Is it?
It is an imperial, so I mean.
Yeah, it's bordering barley wine flavor.
Yeah.
It is barley winey. And actually the color is barley winey too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely a, although I can never tell, our studio lighting's pretty bad.
The color? Are you sure the color is barley wine color?
I think so. Well,
no.
You don't think so? I think it's a little burgundy-ish.
It's darker. It's not jet black, though, like I would expect a Riss to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It says RIS on the cap, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
RIS. I'm holding the cap.
Yeah, it's in my glass here, it looks pretty dark.
It could be me in the studio. Plus, I'm stupid.
Well, I understand that traditionally Russian Imperial Stouts weren't as dark as they are now on the West Coast, at least.
Okay.
So it's I don't know how much leeway you have in that.
How old is this?
This is a little over a year old. I brewed it in August of last year.
Yeah, it's very good, man. Well done.
Yeah, I think it's good too.
Do you remember what your primary fermentation temperature was?
Yeah, I got all that information here. I think, let me see where this is. I've got it in a little bit of a different printout than I normally use.
Hey, what are you a grad student for? Are you like a nuclear chemist or something?
No, actually, I'm in the Department of Viticulture and Oenology at UC Davis.
Okay.
And I study wine yeast.
Nice.
So... Yeah, and it, you know, a lot of it relates to brewing yeast as well.
Right, right.
Mostly it's genetics, though, so...
Okay.
It doesn't you know, do that much for me in brewing, other than just knowing how to grow yeast really well.
So you couldn't, like, clone my dog for me or anything?
Well, you know, not with the facilities that I have, you know, and,
right.
and with yeast.
Yeah. It's my little yeast dog. All right. So did you get that fermentation temperature there?
Yeah, I got it here. It's the primary was done at 68 and for about 14 days, and it was pretty much done at that point, as much as it looked like it was going to drop. And then I warmed it up a little to try to get it to ferment out a little bit more. It stopped short of the final gravity that I thought I would get. But especially using the yeast I used a dry English ale yeast from White Labs.
Hmm.
Yeah, which is a really strong fermenter and usually pulls the final gravity down quite a bit. But this particular time, it stopped at around 5.5 Plato. So
okay.
from going down from 18 and a half Plato.
Gotcha. I think it's good, Doc. What do you got to say?
I like it. Yeah. It's a good beer all the way around.
Yeah.
I'd like to taste it on nitrogen.
Yeah. It's got no head.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Probably old and a little oxidized.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It's basically kind of flat. You can taste it. It's really low. I don't think it's at the 2.5 volumes that you have down here.
Uh-huh.
I bet it's 1.8, something like that, which for this is fine.
Yeah, actually, I don't mind the carbonation level. I think it still tastes good. I just, when you mentioned the nitro, I'd like to see that too, just to get a little creamy head on the top there.
Yeah, you know, carbonation is one of those things that I actually carbonated the bottles with adding dextrose to the bottles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things I've had a little bit of a problem with, because I usually mix it in, like, the keg, and I just kind of look into the keg and estimate about what the volume is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, when I dose it with the sugar, it could be plus or minus a few, a few tenths of a volume of carbonation.
Sure. Yeah, it can easily do that.
You know, I always had trouble with the natural carbonation, too. Although, I've talked to other people who say, I've never had a problem. I love doing it that way. I don't even want to force carbonate. But me, it was just so inconsistent. You know, it was either, half flat or it was a gusher. Right. I mean, I had a few that came out just fine. But I'm just saying, in general, I didn't like having brewed a good beer and then screw it up with bad carbonation because I was doing the natural carbonation. I like the force thing,
Well, you can't really force the issue.
That, and I'm not patient enough anymore to wait for that stuff to do its own work. I'm doing that method that you guys show me now, where I'm, cranking up the CO2 and shaking that sucker for 5 minutes.
Just to have a beer.
Yeah. Exactly.
Straight out of the fermenter, 60 degrees.
I've lost all patience.
The force seems easier to control, but, because you can dial it up or dial it down, whereas when you're a bottle, you're kind of stuck with what you added to the bottle.
Yeah.
I've had actually some luck, though, that I had a couple of barley wines that didn't want to carbonate real well, and actually going back, lifting the caps and shooting in another more attenuative strain of yeast, that I grew up fresh, and getting them to go to carbonation that way.
Gotcha. How many gallons did you brew on this one?
This one's just a 5-gallon batch.
And how much did you do a yeast starter and all that?
Yeah,
how much did you pitch?
I grew up, let me see, it says 1 liter, I think. But I'm growing in them in different conditions than most homebrewers grow it. I grow it up, in the lab and in a shaker with high oxygen and all that. So.
Nice. Wow. So you're getting some sweet starters.
Yeah, it's usually, comparable to the quality that White Labs puts out. So.
Okay. That's pretty nice.
So what are you going to do when you don't have access to that lab anymore?
Well, I've got a stir plate that I got off of eBay a while back, and that's my backup if I don't have access to the lab or something like that. That should do okay.
Right. And you're back with the rest of us schleps, Warren.
Yeah.
Are you a winemaker, too, then?
Yeah, I do some winemaking also.
Oh,
I've got, like, 20 gallons of Merlot from last year right now. And
nice.
Just kind of chilling until I can get my Cabernet that I made this year done, and I want to do some blending with them.
Attaboy.
Do you ferment at the lab, your wine?
No, I don't. I don't really do much of the stuff in the lab other than just growing up the yeast. I do everything at home.
Nice.
Now, you didn't go through the brew program at Davis there, did you?
No.
No, okay. And are you only a grad student there, or did you graduate from there as well?
No, I went to Humboldt State University as undergraduate and then moved to UC Davis for my graduate studies.
All right. So there you go, folks. The future of yeast culturing we got on the phone right here.
Exactly.
Could be he's gonna brew a yeast dog for me.
Yeah. Single naming a dog Yeast.
That's a great name for a dog.
Come here, Yeast.
Come here, Yeast. Last name Infection.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't get sick.
Yeah.
John. Yeah. Exactly. My dog Yeast is sick. John Mayer's dog name is Brewer.
Yeah,
he mentioned that when he was talking yesterday. That's a good name for a dog too, Brewer.
Well, there's somebody, their dog was in their booth. I think it was over by the Raspberry Porter, the Raspberry Brown, and their dog was named Porter.
Is that right? Yeah. That's a great name also. It was a little white dog named Porter.
It was actually a chocolate lab.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was about a day away from getting a German Shepherd a few months ago, and I was going to name it Krausen.
Nice.
That's a good name.
Yeah. Yeah, it flows better than, say, like, Weinstefan. Come here, Weinstefan. Sit, Weinhein, Stefan.
Jesus. That's great.
Well, actually, the new goat that we got just a couple of weeks ago. I got two.
And, you need goats, man.
And I was pushing for the name to name it Bach.
There you go. Warren. I didn't forget about it.
But the kids changed it.
Dr. Scott, why did you get two goats? Please explain that.
What do you do with
I always wanted goats.
To get a boyhood
dream.
For
what?
And actually, just because. They're
That's
cool.
That's so awesome.
Are you going to make goat cheese?
No. These are just for hanging
out. So they just hang out in your house now?
Yeah, and the one was hanging out when I was brewing until she found out that the mash drippings taste really good.
Oh, yeah.
So she's in there licking everything, so yeah. I had to kick her out.
Don't they, like, ram your kids and stuff?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Tell me about that. The one is about the same size as my 5-year-old, and he's walking with a little limp, and I go... What happened? He goes, got butted.
What were you doing?
I like that he
him?
Didn't come running crying and stuff. He's just like, I got butted.
He's holding his side.
Yeah. Goats.
Yeah.
You're
is it Bryson?
Freak. Yeah. Bryson got butted.
Yeah, but Bryson holds a goat by the horns, goes, hi. Good goat.
Nice. All right. Well, Warren, good work. I think that you've received less criticism than we've ever given on your beer. So,
oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, you probably had some of the stuff at our booth yesterday, which I wish I could have brought something better this year. I had kind of a lot of lab stuff going on lately and didn't have time to brew much.
That's no excuse, Warren.
Yeah. No, we had a couple good ones at your booth. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, the double IPA that I think you remarked about earlier in the show, that was my buddy Shane. He brewed that one, and it was a really good double IPA. Mm-hmm.
And here's a good method you can tell people about. Your wife had a mini mash there that was called, Toaster Oven Pale?
Toaster Oven Brown.
Brown, that's it. It was a Toaster Oven Brown. And tell us how she did her mini mash with a toaster oven.
Let's see. I wasn't around when she was doing this, but...
Is she there?
No, she's gone.
Okay.
But from what I understand, she took and heated up her water that she needed for the mini mash and heated up a pan in the toaster oven.
Like a casserole dish, right?
Yeah, a casserole dish, okay. Exactly. And heated up the water in a saucepan on the stove and then, to like a 160 or whatever she had it at.
Yeah.
And then threw in the crushed grains and everything into the saucepan. Then once the casserole dish was heated up and the toaster oven was heated up to 150 or whatever she mashed at,
yeah,
she just went ahead and dumped all that stuff into the gently dumped it into the casserole dish and then set it back in the toaster oven and let it, sit there for half an hour, hour, whatever conversion time was.
Yeah.
And it holds the temperature really well, And
that's what I like about it. I think it's a great method for mini mash because of holding temperature.
Yeah, and she gets away with it doing it in a toaster oven because she does 3-gallon batches.
Right.
She can't lift a whole ton, so... She sticks with the smaller batches, and she typically gets tired of beers after about 3 gallons. So,
gotcha.
she shoots for more variety and less volume. So.
Now, is that 3 gallons in one sitting that she gets tired of?
No.
No, that's over the course of the thing.
It lasts her a little while.
Gotcha. See, because when I do my mini mash, I got the bucket sitting on the counter for a half hour, right? I can't temp control that. So I like the idea. I might try it in my oven, just so I can temp control.
That's what I used to do. I used to do it in the oven.
Yeah.
And just keep the oven on whatever low.
Right.
And you can grab the two, usually just the two spaghetti pots that we had, how many quarts those are.
Mm-hmm.
And you could fit two of those on the lower rack.
Right.
And it keeps it almost steady.
There's a homebrewer in Sacramento who does that. I was always impressed by his ingenuity for using his oven to hold his mash temp.
Yeah, it was great. I think it's a good idea. So that's actually one cool thing I learned from you guys, Warren, when I went over there. I saw the name of the beer on your list of beers, and I said, why is that your toaster oven? And your wife's like, because I made it in a toaster oven, dumbass.
There was a little bit of confusion. A lot of people thought that she made her own grains by toasting them in the oven, and that was the name. But, she explained it. So
much more ingenious than that.
You could do a step mash in the oven.
Yeah?
Just throw it in cold and
raise it up. And then raise it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? All kinds of good ideas.
If you throw all the water in there and stuff cold, I think it's going to take you a while to go through all the temperature, and you're going to do a really long step, but
that's probably true.
Just start it at the lower rest temp.
My oven doesn't even have a front to it. Also, like, heat's going out all through the house in that thing. Like, we broke it off a year ago and never replaced it.
We got a lot of broken things in that kitchen.
Yeah, we do. All right, well, thanks again, Warren, and good beer.
Yeah,
I think
good beer.
If we don't, or if we rather get through all of Bison's beer here, we're going back to yours, man.
Right, all right, thanks.
So I appreciate it. I'm glad you found me late last night.
Yeah.
Found us.
Yeah, it was. You were doing a hell of a job there singing around the campfire, carrying the tunes.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I kind of wonder how many people we pissed off.
Yeah. We were thinking that. I told Doc on the way home today, I don't think a lot of those clubs are going to like you guys so much next year, because a lot of the songs that we were just making up as we went were all about, like, oh, Doze is so great, Doze always wins, blah, blah, blah. And we were all, you know, you guys are drunk and happy to have won all those awards, and I'm thinking, man, these guys think you guys are pricks.
Yeah.
And, oh, well.
Flat tires in the morning.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
All right, Warren, thanks again, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys getting the chance to taste my beer, and keep cool. listening to the show.
Hey, keep sending us beer. Yeah, if you got some other stuff you want to try, we'll take it, man.
Next time we meet.
All right, sounds good.
All right, bye.
See you, Warren. All right, now you can call Crotch and tell us about how the video shoot went. So there you go, a good listener beer. That's awesome. We've had other good listener beers, too.
We know they're out there.
That we just have said, you know, do this and then send it back, because the beer's good, but check out one thing. But that was awesome. This one's awesome. Good stuff. Let's start drinking some Bison brews. Doc, don't look at me like I'm a steak. What's wrong with you, man?
Oh, and I was reading your shirt.
Oh.
Sorry.
This new quiet Doc. You're louder than you were last week. I like that.
Yes,
but
yes.
You're still a couple decibels below your normal.
Well, I can ramp up.
All right.
Hey, Justin, before Crotch is going to call in, you want to see his wife? And what nice tattoo she got down there.
Yeah, Crotch wishes
and her
that
moo-moo.
Was his wife.
And her moo-moo.
Showing me naked pictures and tattoos under
panties. Photoshop whore.
So, all right, so we're here with Peter from Bison Brewery. He's grabbing his beer for us, and we're going to find out a little bit about their beers and kind of mesh that in with our adjunct discussion. So if you guys want to know, Doc, break down the adjunct classes for me, if you would. Like, what are we talking about when we say adjuncts?
Help me out here, John. Rice, mm-hmm. corn, anything else you can get fermentables.
Okay.
In.
All right.
You could probably push specialty grains into that to a point.
Okay.
But we should probably just stick with rice and corn.
Okay. Sugars.
Like sugars.
Right. Okay.
And spices. It's,
okay.
Adjuncts. Anything else that you can throw in that isn't barley.
We can lump it all together. How much can you talk about rice and corn?
Right. Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to stretch it out. Cause, you know, just,
okay.
You can talk quite a bit about rice and corn, but. Yeah.
But getting into the beer board.
And still retain listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the difference.
Your Pilsner had corn in it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had probably 6 pounds of flaked corn in there.
20-gallon batch?
Yeah. Right. So we're pouring one of these beers now. So it's almost anything that you throw in that's not the main four ingredients, right? Yeah. That you throw in for other flavors is an adjunct.
Yeah, and to get in order to get more fermentable sugars
okay.
out of it.
And the interesting thing about them is that there is some controversy about where to use them and when best to use them. And I don't think that there's a rule,
no.
But it's good to know what people do to get the most out of it. So if you're going for some fruity beers and things like that, and that's why I'm glad we got Peter here, because he can talk about where he uses it. First, though, really quick, I got Crotch on the phone here, I think. Crotch, you there?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
It's calling back.
No, my fault. Hey, how'd the shoot go today?
Actually, we did it yesterday.
Oh, okay.
We got about half of it.
Okay.
A lot of the stuff we couldn't do. The 20% chance of rain turned into 20% that it was never going to go away.
Oh, gotcha.
or 80% that it was never going to go away. It started around noon. Uh-huh. And it was still raining when it was dark out.
Oh. Well, you didn't have trouble
with water.
So
we ended up packing up a lot of the electronics just to keep from frying them out, you know, and risking anything. But we got quite a bit of stuff up until about noon.
Okay.
And then we'll just go back next week and finish it up.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Good work. So what's have you got an ETA, or are you still kind of up in the air with the...
I'm still up in the air. I'm not rushing. Not rushing through it, but I'm going to try to get it done sometime by the end of November, have everything completed out.
Okay.
How long do you think the run time's going to be?
I'm trying to keep it underneath an hour.
Okay.
Because a lot of the stuff you can cut out as quick explanation and maybe just a little, you know, actual shooting and stuff. But I can't see stretching it more than 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah. Although I kind of like watching stuff boil. you know.
Yeah.
Like, you could just put the camera on that, and I could hang out and watch that for a while. Send me the rough cuts, Ed. I'll just check it out for you.
Oh, okay.
If you're just tuning in, what we're talking about here, Crotch Rot, one of our longtime listeners and a good guy from Florida, is putting together an all-grain video that he's going to make available, that he'll stream it across the web. So he'll be notifying you about that through various forums and possibly a website. And we'll keep you up to date too. And, you know, just kind of, and he's also going to set up a chat room that both extract brewers can go in to ask questions, and also all grainers will be there to answer questions.
Nice.
And,
yep.
And kind of help out with the whole process, so that as you're watching the video, you can say, what the hell is happening? And someone,
yep,
will actually answer you.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great idea. We're wanting to do some video here. We've got that segment set aside on our website. Just got to get around to it. And I think it's just another good tool. Because, you know, for example, we sit around talking about different techniques and processes in here. It'd be great if you could just go someplace and look at that technique.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it does help to hear it, obviously. But sometimes a little
people
visual.
Learn differently.
Yeah.
Visual,
so
auditory.
I think,
yeah,
it's a great idea.
Up till now, there's been really nothing out there, unless you want to go pop $20 for the video and then find out the video stunk.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I'm one of these people, you know, I can read it, and I can read it, and I can read it. So there's just something to be said about seeing it once. Just seeing it once, and then you're going, I got it now. After reading it, then seeing it, you got it.
Yeah. And for me, I just like embracing new technology in brewing also. So,
yeah,
like you said, rather than going out and buying a tape, mm-hmm, you don't need to do that anymore. I mean, some people do, and that's fine too, but embrace the internet and that you can do these things all via the web. I got a friend, he canceled all his cable, you know, everybody's paying $50, $60 a month for cable and stuff now. Canceled all of it. He watches every show he wanted to watch on cable, just like, about a half an hour after it airs. And all he does is he sits down on his computer, does some searching, finds the program, downloads it, and watches it.
Yep.
Why not?
Doesn't even need cable, you know? Of course he's stealing it, but, what are you gonna do? You know. But it's like this, to me, it's the same as having like a DVR, these digital video recorders, a TiVo. You know, you set the time, you record it, you watch it later. Same difference.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just like that you're doing it that way, that you're going to stream this thing instead of, you know, selling a DVD. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, I may end up way down the road, actually packaging like a instructional on how to build the equipment all the way through, and, you know, now that you've got the equipment, here's the video to go along with it. But, I mean, that's way down the road. I don't even have the finances for that right now, but
right.
That may be something that happens way down the road. But right now, I'm just looking at giving it away right across the web.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Cool.
That's what we try to give everything we can away, and then just try to make up money later on.
You know
what could help, Christian, if you're really getting a bind? Sell your wife.
Oh, my Photoshop whore?
Yeah, sell her.
Yeah.
Or even your real wife. I'm just saying, you need a quick $500. I'm just, sometimes, right, Daniela?
You're such a dick.
She's giving me the finger now. Okay.
What's that mean in German?
All right, Christian, thanks for the call, and keep up the good work.
Thanks.
All right, man. See ya.
Later.
All right. What am I drinking right here of yours, Peter?
This is our 15th anniversary Red Ale.
Okay.
Bison was started in 1989, and we popped this out last year for our 15th anniversary. And this was actually my first influence with Bison. Before I actually went to work with them officially 6 months ago, I was consulting with them.
Oh, okay.
Helping them out with recipe formulations and process controls. And this was what kind of came out.
Did you just know somebody there, or how did you end up being a consultant for them?
Dan Del Grande is the owner. He bought the company in 1997, and I'm a graduate of the American Brewers Guild, and he's the engineering instructor there, is how I originally met him.
Gotcha.
And I lived in Sacramento, so he was right down the road, so we ended up hanging out, grabbing a pint, and just being fairly social. And then he said, you know, I could use some help on this stuff. So it basically turned into like a one-year job interview, and when a spot opened up, he said, you know, do you want to come and run the brew house for me? I said, yeah, sure.
Nice.
So,
and I know you're going to school now also as a grad student,
correct?
Right? But do you plan on being a brewer? Is this your
going to
be your gig?
Absolutely. Okay. No, I'm tied in with Bison. This is my home. This is where I want to be.
Cool.
One of the main reasons for that is we're one of the few breweries in the country that does completely 100% certified organic beers.
Okay.
And that's something that both Dan and I always did in our personal life. We would buy organic vegetables and organic milk, and we'd try and we'd live that lifestyle in our personal life.
Right.
And we were able actually to bring that to our professional life.
Nice.
Well, so
what makes that in your beers 100% organic?
It's all of the grains we use, most of the hops we use. They give us the certifiers give us a little leeway on that.
Okay.
But all the every ingredient that we put in there is grown organically.
So no pesticides.
Correct. No pesticides, no fertilizers, all sustainable agriculture.
Gotcha. Very nice. So. I imagine that you must have trouble with the hops because it's hard not to use pesticides on hops, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. And here's the thing. Last year's hop hop harvest had no cascades that were of brewing quality.
Oh.
So you just couldn't get them.
Gotcha.
So they give us some play. We're allowed to use we have a 5% window by weight.
Okay.
And they'll make allowances like if they don't grow, say, crystal hops organically, I can use crystal hops as long as they don't exceed that 5% limit.
5% per batch, you're saying?
Per batch, yeah.
Okay, I got you. And by they, who are you talking about? The Department of Agriculture says this?
Yeah, USDA. We use the California Crop Improvement as our certifier.
Okay.
So they go through and we get audits, I mean, just like as well as our ATF, making sure we're paying all our taxes. And, and they look at grain in and beer out and all of that stuff. In addition to that, they'll come in and behind every one of my brew logs in my folder that I keep, I have the invoice for all the grain that I bought.
Gotcha.
We have an additional checklist on our brew logs to say that the package is intact, that there were no pests in there.
Okay.
Once you implement it, it's pretty easy. It's just another thing to check off. It's just part of your process. But getting certified was a little tough.
Now, when they certify you as organic, does that mean that they can use zero pesticides, zero chemicals, zero hormones, or is there some... You know, it's just an amount that you're not allowed to surpass. Because I've heard a lot of things in food when people are talking about, you know, kind of be aware of what you're buying. That just because it says organic doesn't mean that they've never used a hormone in there. So I'm curious what this certification is for you.
I'm not 100% up to date on that, but I know that there are some advertising plays that are in the market right now.
Uh-huh.
If you see something that says made with organic ingredients,
right,
that's not the same as being certified organic. If it's got the USDA logo on it,
all of our
products have the big logo on it, so everyone knows that we've gone through a rigorous process to get everything taken care of.
Okay.
If it's got the USDA logo on it, you can be assured that everything is up
zero
to snuff.
Chemical. Is that what it means? Okay.
Is it cost effective?
It is more expensive.
Oh.
But it's something that we're willing to pay for.
Sure. Why do you think that? Does it add value to your beer and flavor? I mean, is there a reason behind that?
Part of the problem is I see posts on reviews of beers and in talking with homebrewers, like at the homebrewer convention and stuff, talk about, you know, I've never had a good organic beer. Mm. And the malt that I'm getting is just fine. The hops that I'm getting are fine. Like I said, and oftentimes they're the same hops that other brewers are using just because I can't get them organically. Mm. And the quality, especially for the grain, is fine. It's only the hops that it gets a little dicey. And like I said, I can compensate for that.
Right. That's nice. I appreciate it. Yeah. So what kind of margin are we talking about? Could you give me an example? So if, say, for example, the average brewer who's not going all organic, you know, it's costing them 25 cents to brew a beer, is it 50 cents for you or is it 27 cents?
Well, just ballpark. It varies from beer to beer. But when I was working at a brew pub, my target goal per barrel was like, I think we were $24.
Okay.
Right now, my target is 45.
Okay.
Whoa.
So you're talking double.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah.
Just about.
Double the cost to brew.
So.
That's a hearty endeavor to decide, you know, to commit to.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's hard to be a brew pub, man.
Or to make money.
Or a microbrew, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to get that stuff sold, and wow, but I appreciate that because I understand, you mentioned when you're talking about this, all sustainable land use, and there's a lot of controversy about this, but kind of some of the things they say is that with the amount of pesticides and chemicals being used to grow crops, that our land will be almost, and when I say our, the land in the United States will be almost completely unusable as far as nutrients in soil needed to grow things within like 20 to 50 years. So you're talking about within our lifetime, if things were to stay at the current trend in the use of pesticides and hormones, within our lifetime, almost all of the foods that you're eating will have been laboratory produced.
Wow.
Same vegetable. You'll still be eating vegetables and grains. That's not what I mean. I just mean it won't be from natural things that were found in the ground like they are now, or particularly like they were 50 years ago.
Well, the best example I've heard of that is when you talk with a lot of these community-supported agriculture groups.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about how dirt is not just meant to be a substrate to hold up a plant.
Yeah.
It's actually supposed to nourish the plant.
Right.
And when you fertilize something, you actually sterilize all of the microorganisms that are in the soil. So it literally, like, there was one year where I have a vegetable garden in my house.
Okay.
And I decided to fertilize this one year for some reason. I fertilized once, and I had a horrible crop because once I fertilized, I killed all of the microflora that was in there.
Oh, right.
And that year was just an awful harvest for me.
Yeah.
But in subsequent years where I've built up the soil and I've developed the soil, I've had great, great results without using fertilizers.
Okay.
So, I mean, part of the thing is it's like the dirt is there to nourish the plant as opposed to just hold it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
And here's the thing, too. Is that in changing how we do things like going organic and not doing pesticides, it's actually, some say, too late anyway. What we would be doing is at least adding some length to our soil. So say instead of in 50 years, it might take 200 years for the soil to be completely depleted, right? But as far as like reversing it, and it, say if we dropped all pesticides right now, would our soil then, you know, just remain fertile for the next, you know, eternity? It wouldn't.
Would it fix itself, like, over time?
I'm no expert, so all I can say is there is a replenishment that happens when you, allow, like you're talking about, the flora and things to actually die there and go back into the soil. You put things back in, putting spent grain back in soil, for example, having a mulch box in your backyard, that does replenish soil. But with the amount of food that has to be produced to feed the people on the planet, and that increases all the time, you couldn't ever, I think, really do it fast enough.
That's true.
So, I mean, you need lab food. Because we grow so much, we're going to need lab food. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't hold on to what we have as long as we possibly can. So, at the risk of sounding like a bleeding heart hippie, I appreciate it.
Well, we do make it in Berkeley, so we're used to
exactly. You're used to that.
Wearing folks.
Right. So I appreciate what you do. So there you go.
Well, cool.
Okay. Why don't we slam this one down and then since we can get into the adjuncts, try this award-winning stout. Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I didn't want to lay that one on you before I hit you with the red.
Yeah, that's cool. I like the red, and that's a good place to start if it was your first contribution anyway. This is a good beer, by the way.
And that's my favorite one. Bison makes a lot of, well, I'm going to call them strange beers, but we brew with a lot of unconventional ingredients.
Mm.
So this is the beer that I go to when I just want a beer.
Right. Mm-hmm. So these are your four main ingredients, beer right here? You have not added things, is that what you said?
No, and that's just water, malt, hops, yeast.
Gotcha.
Done. Where a lot of our beers, like the chocolate stout, gets, you know, cocoa powder in it. And one of our seasonals that I'll open for you in a minute is a honey basil ale.
Nice.
So the honey will roll right in with your adjunct show here.
Okay, cool.
And our fall seasonal is a gingerbread ale, which is a brown porter that we've spiced up with a bunch of gingerbread spices.
Nice.
So,
cool.
Like I said, when I want to go back to just beer, this is the one I go
This
to.
Is the one
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
I like that it's not too red in character, in flavor character, because I don't really like red beers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, an amber ale is about my borderline getting into redness. And I buy a lot of, you know, I have bought a lot of red beers that I just, it's just too, I don't know what it is. I don't know what, maybe you can help
psychology,
me, Doc.
Man.
There's something about the character of that red that's just, I don't know if it's too sweet or it makes it just kind of bland. But this one's all right because it doesn't go too far that way.
Yeah, it's good. That's good. You filter it?
Yes, this one is filtered.
Nice. Very good.
So. All right, so
okay.
Chocolate.
Chocolate stout cone.
Yeah. And tell us a little about you know, how you guys did this and your use of the chocolate. How long has it been brewed out of Bison?
The chocolate stout, I think, was actually brewed before Dan bought the company in 97. So this beer's been around for a long time.
Okay.
And we've had a lot of beers come and go. Bison used to make a pale ale that we no longer package. We've had several beers
okay.
that have been on the shelves, and this has been the one that stuck around.
All right.
And it's really starting to take off in terms of winning medals and things of that nature.
And you've changed the recipe or not?
Not very much. We did some extensive brewing this summer. I fired up my homebrew system, and I think that it got as big a workout as it's ever gotten.
Okay.
In 1 month, I brewed 15 5-gallon batches.
Gotcha.
And we went through and just added chocolate in the mash, in the kettle, in the fermenter, in the secondary. I mean, different right. amounts, different kinds of chocolate to figure out how we could get a better flavor.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, what – I don't know if you want me to just
– Well, let me give a taste.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'd just like to say something about bison. When I first moved up here in 93, I tried to hit all the brew pubs in the Bay Area, and I hit bison, and – wasn't really impressed, and it's come a long way.
Yeah?
Yeah, it just leaps and bounds over what it was. And for a while there, I would even look twice at a bison beer because of that experience. I was at the brew pub. And it just wasn't what it should have been.
And Doc's a hippie. Let's face it.
Yeah.
It's pretty laid back, too.
And I have started going back to trying them again, and it's like you say, you've got a lot of weird beers out there, and it's kind of nice to pick one of those and pull it apart and see, you know, what's in there, and now I get it firsthand of what the hell's in there.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing that Dan and I really do a good job of. We both are not afraid to take some, like I said, some unconventional ingredient and brew with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we both keep each other in check in terms of keeping the beers balanced, in terms of making sure that it's not a novelty beer, that it's a good beer.
Yeah.
On top of having a different twist to it.
Right. Yeah. So. That's a good thing to have, and you need two people that are on the same page like that.
Yeah.
Especially when one can tell you if it sucks or not. I like it's got a good chocolate flavor that to me is balanced by the roastiness on the other end of it.
Very roasty.
So you don't get because it would end up too sweet, I think, if you.
But on the other hand, if you get it too roasty, it just comes across as kind of acrid and bitter.
Correct.
And it's a nice balance with the chocolate, kind of pulls that back.
Yeah, it's definitely we're going for the bittersweet character. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make it would work well as a dessert beer. I'll do stout floats with this beer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've boiled it down to make a syrup and made ice cream out of it before.
Wow.
I mean, it's good in that sense as well. But I mean, like I said earlier, this stout, this whole year I've been entering it in the foreign extra category.
Okay.
So I wanted to compete against regular stouts because
I think
it's like I was saying, it's a good beer on its own. It doesn't have to be a novelty.
So. Sure. And that's where you got the second was as a stout. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
This was the first time I've ever been to the GABF.
Okay.
And it was the first time I've ever entered in the GABF.
Okay.
So this one, it was a good trip.
Yeah. Coming out of the box.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's really cool.
So, but this particular beer, I do have to tip my hat. Like I said, it's been around before my time. This is Dan's baby. So
okay.
Tip my hat to him.
In terms of adjuncts, then, can you talk to us about how much chocolate, where you're putting this stuff in, and why you decided that part of the process?
And do you have any trouble with the oil content in the chocolate with head retention?
Exactly. We did these extensive trials, and we found the best place to add it was actually in the bright tank, or in if you were to, as a homebrewer, put it in a keg or in the secondary, okay. perhaps. And we got some great, just big chocolate results from that. The only problem was we got an oil slick on the top of the beer.
Mm-hmm.
So we had zero head retention, which as a commercial brewer, aesthetics is a big part of it. I always think you drink with your eyes. It's got to look nice and it's got to be inviting before you bring it up to your mouth.
Yeah, you can't serve cloudy beer because nobody – we'd understand that, but most guys in your brew pub coming in trying to hand their girlfriend a cloudy beer, she's not going to drink it.
Yeah. So that was what we found was the best part. But what we actually do is we add it in the mash, and that seems to keep behind enough of those oils, and after it goes through the boil and we draw off, it leaves behind enough of that we can still get the flavor without getting those oils in there. And I sat down ahead of time to figure this out. Our usage rate is about it's about 6 grams per gallon of whatever batch length you're going to brew. But when we were making it at home, I was using as much as 2 ounces.
Dry or liquid?
Right now we're using cocoa powder,
mm.
Not Dutch processed. Dutch processed tends to be a little more bitter,
mm-hmm.
and just the regular cocoa powder gives a more chocolatey flavor to it. But we've used everything from dark Scharfenberger chocolate
mm-hmm.
to milk chocolate even. I think we actually did one batch with white chocolate as well.
Oh, nice.
Just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
So we found we got the best. We got the best flavor from the just Dutch, or excuse me, from the regular cocoa powder.
Okay.
If I were to do it, if I were brewing this at home, I would probably get like a bittersweet chocolate from whatever your local chocolate producer is, mm-hmm. and break that up and throw it right in the keg.
Okay.
Put it in maybe a dry hop bag just to keep it, make cleanup a little easier.
Gotcha.
But just let it sit on that for a week or so, and that should put big chocolate flavor in your beer.
You're not even doing it in any of the brewing or fermentation process at all, just in the keg at the end, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Do you add
dry
cold
hopping
or hot?
With chocolate.
Yeah.
Do you add it cold or hot?
Cold. Just chunk it up, break it up into little pieces and put it in your bag and stick it into there.
I'm curious, does it melt in there then?
Like it gets kind of molten.
Okay. All right.
It's not like, plan on spending some time cleaning your keg after you do it, put it that way.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons, that's another reason why we don't do it in the brewery, because our tanks are a lot bigger, so the mess is a lot bigger.
Right. And I wonder why it doesn't just fall out of solution and end up at the bottom and then not having flavored your beer. You know what I mean?
Well, it's in contact with it. I mean, you can say the same thing about hops. They fall to the bottom.
I guess
bottom,
so. Yeah, and it has oils that it's releasing too, so same as hops. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. I might throw a little chocolate. I might throw chocolate in a Weizen. How about that?
Why, you don't drink that anyway.
Yeah, that's why I'd throw chocolate in it. It's going to end up bad.
A chocolate Weizen.
We went to a good name. After doing all these trials, we went to a dinner actually at Sean's place at 21st Amendment. Mm-hmm. That was a beer and chocolate dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Every course was different beers paired with chocolate, and there was chocolate in every dish that they produced. And I was just amazed. One of my favorite combinations was actually a triple with a bittersweet chocolate. Mm. And I'd always thought chocolate goes with stout, chocolate goes with porter, some of these, you know, big, rich beers that kind of have similar flavors.
Yeah.
And so I've actually been toying with the idea. Well, Dan has. We've been talking about toying with brewing a chocolate triple.
Okay, nice.
So just instead of pairing them next to each other, putting it all together.
Yeah, why not?
Chocolate triple.
It's a good idea.
Sounds bizarre.
I talked to Sean about when we were in here about I've always said that eating chocolate and beer tastes awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People think I was a freak for that, but it's good.
That's how I think you're a freak.
Well, yeah. Among other things, I guess I should have said. I got a question from the chat room for you. Do you brew all of your pilot brews on a homebrew system?
Not all of them.
Okay.
I've been brewing for about 6 years now. I actually became the head brewer at my first job when I was 20 years old.
Okay.
And so I explain to people it's a lot like cooking. I mean, anybody who's been homebrewing for a long time knows you don't use 20% black malt in a beer. Like, it would just be too much.
Yeah.
Like, same, you don't use fistfuls of salt when you're cooking.
Right.
So I have an idea. If I'm doing something different, if I'm going to do something kind of odd, then I'll brew it at home and check it out and see how it goes.
Okay.
But it's also hard because it's not linear in terms of scaling it up.
I was going to say, trouble scaling it up to that kind of volume.
Yeah.
Just so gives you an idea.
It gives you an idea of where you need to go. But I mean, for the most part, you have an idea of how things are going to turn out just because I've, you know, been doing it long enough that, you can put something together and it'll be saleable.
Well, how often do you invent a new beer?
I don't know how often.
You gotta want to pull something new, put it on the shelf, or come up with something.
We do different stuff. I'll pull stuff from like my old homebrewing archives when I was doing just different stuff at home, when I'd get bored of pale ales and stouts and doing different stuff. So I'll go back into my old homebrew log and pull stuff out. I will also, like, the Northern California Homebrewers Festival is a great source of inspiration for professional brewers. I can go and talk with homebrewers, and they're doing stuff I would never even think of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can go and talk with them. I mean, I brewed a pumpkin beer at a brew pub that I worked at, and the recipe was straight from a homebrewer.
Gotcha.
He came in and worked with me on the brew day, and we roasted like 90 pounds of whole pumpkins and put them in the mash. And
it was
straight from one of the homebrewers, local guys.
John Mayer was talking about that too, that they pay close attention to the homebrewers because not only are we the guys doing that sort of thing, but we're the guys buying the craft brew too. We're not just drinking homebrew. We're going out and looking for cool stuff in craft brew too. So if any of you guys, like you doing interesting beers or Rogue doing crazy beers, if anyone's going to buy them first, it's going to be us. It's going to be homebrewers.
Sure.
You know, it's not your average beer drinker that's going to go looking for weird stuff. Yeah. You know, so that's cool. Homebrewers have a place in this world, too.
Yeah, they do.
And it's not just at freaky festivals.
We're not so much a freak because everybody is.
Yeah. Well, you are, Doc.
Well.
But you're a freak with a Hummer.
And two goats.
And two goats, yeah. I bet you're the only person on this planet that owns a Hummer and goats. I'm going to make that guess right now.
And as a dentist.
And a homebrewer.
There you go.
Here is a question, although we've covered it, but let's do it anyway because maybe some other people didn't catch it. It's, does the chocolate have any task after fermentation, or does the ferment extract all the flavor? But you are saying the chocolate goes in to the keg when it's done.
Well, no. For our beers, you're talking about for the homebrew when you're going to stick it in.
Oh, tell us about yours then.
Well, for our beers, it goes in the mash.
It's in the mash. Okay.
It's cleaner.
Yeah, it's not. Okay. It's easier to deal with. It's cleaner, and it really doesn't contribute a whole lot to the fermentation in terms of extract.
Okay, so there's nothing happening to the chocolate.
And like when we added it to the keg, like I was talking about in the trials that we did, the beer was already cold, so there wasn't a lot of action in there.
Gotcha.
So
nothing doing there. All right, how about should we try the honey basil and talk about those adjuncts that you used in there?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that, you can really just call anything adjunct. You know, just throw a microphone in there.
Well,
see what would happen.
Well, this one I think fits more the traditional definition of the adjunct. As I added about, let's see, in this batch, 140 pounds of organic wildflower honey.
Wow!
So, it's
a lot of honey.
Yeah, and this one we actually ended up adding the honey straight to the fermenter. I'd brewed honey beers before, but they always just came out very dry.
Okay.
And I can't use honey malt, which is a trick that I learned at a brew pub to put more honey flavor into the beer, because once I start using malts that are not organic, I exceed that 5% limit really fast.
Gotcha.
So I couldn't do that. So what we ended up doing is just pumping the honey directly into the fermenter after like the second or third day of fermentation to try and keep some of those nice aromas in there without driving it off by heating it. Even dumping it, what I've done in the past is I've dumped it right into the boil.
Okay.
Right at the end of the boil.
Mm. Okay.
But like I said, those beers just came out very nice, but there wasn't a lot of honey character. They just kind of dried out and was like a nice crisp kind of summer ale.
Okay.
But adding it into the fermenter, I think we got a little bit of a nice honey aroma in there, even with not adding a whole lot of honey.
Do you worry about sanitation with that? Do you heat it?
We do heat it. But we would just maintain it about 150 for 20 minutes.
Pasteurized.
Yeah, just real, real light and gentle. We actually use my old heat exchanger on my homebrew system. I have a immersion chiller.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd stick the immersion chiller down into the Grundy and cycle hot water through it from our hot liquor tank, and then pump that into the fermenter. So the homebrew stuff is still getting a workout.
Definitely basil.
Yeah, lots of basil.
Which is, I love basil, by the way.
One of the things that we really tried to do on this was keep it subtle.
Okay.
We didn't want to have a huge basil bomb.
Right.
So.
It's there, though. Yeah, but I'm glad that there's basil because I don't like honey beers. So to me, if it were just a honey beer, I wouldn't enjoy it. But the basil, it's there enough that I wouldn't guess at first that it's a honey beer. If you were to give it to me blind and wanted me to tell you what it was, I wouldn't have said honey beer.
Yeah, it's really difficult with how strong malt flavors are with the basil in here. I used Styrian Golding hops in this.
Okay.
Just because I like the spicy orange kind of flavor of those hops. I thought that would go well with the basil.
That does. I think it's definitely spicy in there. I was wondering if that was just the basil.
No, we finish it with some nice Styrian Goldings that I procured just for this beer.
Okay.
When did you add the basil?
Right at the end.
This last
burner
as soon as off.
It went in, turn off the burner, in goes the basil.
Oh, okay.
And I've read homebrew recipes, or I've seen homebrew recipes for basil beers where they add like a whole bunch of basil to their 5-gallon batch.
Yeah.
We added 15 of those grocery store size sprigs into a 10-barrel batch.
Okay.
And
wow. But it's basil is such a pungent, in cooking
pretty,
as well.
This is pretty peppery.
Kinda
peppery. Not like that black pepper beer we had yesterday.
Mm. Yeah. I would say if you hadn't put all that honey in this beer, it'd be crap because it would be peppery.
Yeah, it'd be too much.
You know what I mean? Mm. So it covers up that peppery of the basil with the honey.
It grows
is it
on
this
me the
one
more
right here?
Yeah.
Yeah. It grows on me the more actually I drink it. So
yeah, the first one, because I never even heard of a basil beer. So the first taste threw me for a curve, but I dig it.
I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mel's out.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
This was actually a brew from the archives. We went back into the old brew logs, and his first name's escaping me. His last name was Meyer. He was one of the brewers for Bison before Dan even bought the company.
Hmm.
And we went back, and this was one that used to be at the brew pub that they would brew, and when Bison was doing all their weird beers back then, too.
Yeah.
And this was one we resurrected from the archives as kind of an homage to the original brewers.
Right.
I mean, Bison was around since 1989. Buffalo Bill Owens was one of the pioneers in the craft brewing industry.
Okay.
So we thought we'd bring back one of the archive beers as a tip of the hat to where Bison came from.
That's cool. I'll tell you this about it. It reminds me of... for example, Pyramid Brews an apricot ale, right? Mm-hmm. Which is very popular. But to me, it's those kinds of beer, and this one as well, are a beer that you drink one or two of in a sitting, say, but you're not going to throw back a six pack with the guys. I just think the flavor becomes overwhelming. It really, your senses, right? Having one or two is great. I'm wondering how that affects your guys' business. Because I would guess that a lot of your beers might be that way, that people drink them and say, man, that's really good, but they're not going to throw back six of them, say. So
I'll agree with you on that with the honey basil, but that's what I was saying earlier, where even though we're doing these different kinds of beers, we still try and make them drinkable. We still try and make them stand on their own.
Right, okay.
The honey basil is just, it's a fantastic food beer.
Yeah.
We've had it with pizza, and that's when you start noticing, oh, okay, I'm three or four deep, when I were just having a pint of this, it would be, you know, I'd have one, and that would be good.
That's an excellent point. Actually, I'm now thinking of this beer with food.
Well, this
and
would be great with spaghetti.
Oh, yeah.
Or absolutely. Ravioli.
Lasagna. Oh, yeah.
I've made beer sorbets before, and I really want to do that with this as more of like a savory sorbet.
Nice.
I think that would be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I made a chili beer at a brew pub I went to, or I used the same brew pub where I made the pumpkin beer.
Uh-huh.
And that beer I did the sorbet with, and, you know, I love cooking with beer, so.
Right, so do I.
Doing these different things, you can find all kinds of different applications that may not have presented themselves with just, your normal malt, water, hops, yeast.
Right. Where can people find Bison? Are you only on the West Coast?
No, we are. We're in 11 states now.
Oh, nice.
We're slowly creeping across the country.
Okay.
And your best bet, the states that I know for sure are Georgia, Oregon, Washington, California, and Florida.
Okay.
Hear that crotch rot?
Yeah, you can get it, Christian.
Your best bet, because we're an organic beer, is to find your local co-op. Is to find a Whole Foods or a Wild Oats kind of market.
Yeah.
Any kind of specialty grocer like that generally will have an organic beer.
Okay.
And that's where I turn a lot of people onto it.
Cool.
I know on the West Coast, Beverages and More is a good bet. We're in most of them.
Okay. Other microbrews have come in here and discussed difficulty with distributing their beer because distributors tend to not only put it on the back burner, but maybe leave it sitting out on the back porch in the heat. Have you guys noticed any trouble with your distributors?
No, we've been pretty well served. Our distributors take care of us, but we have some unique distributors. We use a company called Mountain Peoples for a lot of our West Coast distribution, and they're an organic food distributor.
Okay.
So they're there. They care about the product. They're, you know, taking care of us and really have a lot of pride in the things that they sell.
Right.
So
that's cool.
That helps. That kind of gives us a unique relationship with our distributors.
Right. Mm-hmm. How many, do you know roughly how many other organic beer makers there are?
There's a couple of big boys. Okay. I think right now we're the third largest organic brewery.
Okay.
But, down in Chico, there's Butte Creek and Wallivers, of course.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's not too many that are being nationally distributed. I go into brew pubs all the time that are playing with, you know, here's one organic beer that we've made, and I think they're kind of putting their foot in the pool to see how cold the water is.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Well, I think, you know, when we were talking about the cost before, it's probably easier to start as an all-organic brewery because you know what you're getting yourself into than to end up one, because it's hard enough to be a craft brew and then to double all your costs and say, let's go for it now.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Well, it's definitely a decision, like I said, that we made that was based in our personal lives.
Yeah.
It wasn't a business decision, put it that way.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's good beer.
Yeah.
Have that with some pizza.
Yeah.
Doc?
Yeah.
Shut up. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to try some more of your beer. What else you got on in your bottles over there for us?
What do we got? I got early release of our gingerbread ale, which is that spiced porter I was telling you about.
Okay.
And that one actually did come from, it was a grown-up homebrew recipe, one of Dan's that he did.
Okay.
And
try that when we get back so we can talk about where you added
brought
the gingerbread.
Some of my Belgian ale, too.
Nice.
That'll fit right into your adjunct discussion.
Yeah.
Our taste buds are going to be shot.
Yeah. Beautiful. You're looking better, though, John.
He's standing.
Couple beers in ya. You want to start yelling at anybody?
What?
Like, do that.
Yeah.
All right. So I found a song for Di. I've never heard it. It's from The Waifs. I don't know if it's the Waifs she's talking about. I just checked it out and I found it. And I bought it, by the way, if anyone.
You can make the check payable to Justin Crossley.
That was 99 cents. So The Waifs, the song is called Crazy Train. Di, I'm going to give you a warning. I'll give it about 30 seconds, and if it sucks, I'm turning it off and putting on something else that you've probably heard 15 times over the last 2 weeks. Sorry to say. And sorry for everybody else if it sucks, but there you go. So this is The Waifs. The song's called Crazy Train. It's for our friends in Australia. And we're here with Peter from Bison Brewery, and we'll be talking more about adjuncts when we come back.
Listening to a bunch of guys talk about beer. The Brewcasters.
On the Brewing Network.
Yes, sir. We're back and we're going to try to wrap things up. We got a little bit of time left and we've got things to give away. Yes, we got shirts. Peter was nice enough to bring us in some shirts to give away. One of them I'm already going to give away to Warren for sending us beer.
Yes,
so that was very cool to do, and
see what happens.
He's a cool guy. Man.
We don't get a lot of beer sent to us, and he did. So,
and we're not bitter about that.
Yeah, we just like it. It helps the show out. So he gets one of the shirts already. Is that all right with you, Peter?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, cool.
You should come to the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I finally got my official network show. Network
your
shirt.
Yeah. I gave him one just before we left. Also, let me do this. I forgot to announce, and I don't know how I did this. I apologize. I'm retarded, but
we know that.
Yeah,
just look at you, man.
I just think. I mean, we brushed over it. That Doe's won a bunch of awards at the festival this week. Doc's beer won in the Pilsner category. He got first place in that. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then it also won best in show.
Yeah.
He won the best beer in the show.
And the best in show is judged by
brewers.
They're judged by judges.
John and Sean and the guys on the
That's what I thought
one.
Too. It was those guys. Sean, John, Colin,
awesome.
Mark.
Right on.
And I'm not sure who else. So it wasn't just the homebrew. The homebrewers all tasted and voted on both the porter category and the pils
and
category.
And the Pilsner category. And it's just kind of a who likes the best beer there. And then they all go back up in front of the judges, and the judges actually tear them apart and figure out, you know, which one gets best to show. So you can I've seen it happen where whoever – if you win in that category,
mm-hmm.
I've seen another one win best to show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But Doc won both. And then the Doe's Club in general, they won Best Club Beer, basically. So three awards given out went to Doe's, two of them to Doc. So congratulations,
Thank
Doc.
You.
He was a happy man, too. He was pretty stoked about that when he saw him yesterday.
It made me want to go out and drink.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You did.
You continue drinking. Okay, here's the deal with another shirt to give away. I've got another one. I'm going to tell you right now it's an extra large, so skinny people need not apply, or small people. I will not give this shirt away to somebody who has won a prize from us. Not this week. Did it last week, even though I said I wouldn't.
We know the addresses.
That's right. This week I'm putting my foot down. I want somebody new, and I don't know if that eliminates the chat room or not. I've got two shirts to give away. I'll do one of them for Stump the Brewer. We got to do Stump the Brewer. And Oz, I apologize. You may play Stump the Brewer, but it won't be the prize winning Stump the Brewer question.
I'll play for you, Oz.
So if you've never won a prize from us before and you have a Stump the Brewer question, you can win that way. The other shirt I'll give away to a caller who's never called in before. So call in. It's 888-401-BEER. We have to have never heard from you, and you've not won a prize from us. And that's the other one. And what I've got are two very cool Bison Brewery T-shirts. They're black. They got the logo on the front. And the back says, "Wish you were beer."
And they glow in the dark.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's even better.
So
they're cool.
Drunk and lost.
I love the slogan, "Wish you were beer." That's cool. So there you go. They're cool shirts. So one caller and one Stump the Brewer. How about that? And if nobody calls, I'm keeping the damn thing. So there you go. How about that? I do have a couple questions for you here, Peter. Will your beer ever be available in Australia?
I can't speak to that. I'm not in the marketing department.
Would you go put in a good word for our folks in Australia?
I absolutely will.
Okay. Try to get your beer out there.
Yeah.
What, are there any American microbrewers in Australia, Oz? Answer that in the chat room if you would. I'm curious about that. Because I'd like to know who does, and then it would be interesting to find out how.
Well, didn't he say everything pretty much is crap there, and you have to make your own if you want something good?
Yeah. I wonder if Sierra is there, though. They would be, like, the biggest guy I would think of that could be there.
Well,
but
when I brewed for Sierra for a while.
Okay.
And when I was there, they made a point to say we don't want to send our beer that far away, despite the fact that they have one of the best shelf lives in the industry.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Can't you just fly it over? It's not that far by plane, or does it have to go on a boat?
I think it has to go by cargo, on a cargo boat.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
And you got all those drunken sailors drinking it all the way over.
That stout be gone in seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they have refrigerated containers that go on those ships.
Yeah.
That's true.
What do you got? You got a caller there? Okay.
But then you got to deal with the fact: how are you going to compete with your whatever local beer is being produced when your beer now has to be sold for $15 a six pack,
right? Yeah,
in a refrigerated container,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
not to mention maybe tariffs or whatever else that you have to get tacked onto it.
Yeah, and also beer's really, I mean, despite beer was always a local product. It was always your town beer.
Every town,
yeah, that's true.
Your local stuff, so. I think you should, down in Australia, encourage your local entrepreneurs to start
make better beer.
Up. There you go.
You know, that's an interesting contradiction to our show, actually, in that we are trying to do this thing in making the information more global, and we have access to the internet like that. But you're right. It has always been a local thing, and you're not always going to be able to get these beers. That's it. I quit.
Okay. All right. Close it up.
I got a question, I think, for John, and I don't know if this is a joke for you or a serious question, but it says, what can I do if I find all the B3 recipes too hoppy? That's a serious question.
Find all by half.
Just cut them in half?
Just a bittering hop by half.
Oh, they did that before.
Daniela, no one can hear you.
That's it.
They did that before, cut it in half, and it just was still too bitter, sort of. So do you have any good advice for that?
You could also change the hops to a different kind.
Yeah, I mean, switch them out, lower alpha-acid hop, something.
Here's what I say you do. You call John up on the 800 number. You ask for John.
Yes.
And you say, this is my pro, because he's there all week long. He's there from Tuesday through Saturday, and that's kind of what he does anyway.
Or email me.
And I'm serious, he's good at that. He's good at what he does and good at that.
He's good about getting back at you with email.
Yeah.
So
if you send it to, and he'll let you know what to do. Tell him what your problem is, and he might be able to recommend it. Then I guess you might go to, like Doc says, recommend a different bittering hop or something.
Sure.
But
yeah.
So
it's actually a common problem, and that's not the first time I've heard that.
So. Is that right?
Yeah.
On the West Coast here, it's always more hops, hops. And if you're from the Midwest or the East, you're going to probably find it a little bit too hoppy
for you.
That's
a very good point, you know. It's definitely West Coast influence, so I reduce all the – I brew a lot of B3 recipes, and I reduce all the hops by like 30%.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. There's so many guys in our club, though, that go the other direction.
Increase it.
That's not enough, 6 ounces.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. When we were standing in the big auditorium where they're announcing all of the GABF winners, as soon as Pale Ale IPA and double IPA came up, California across the board.
Oh, right.
So,
Of course.
Yeah. You go into that row in the GABF, the – West Coast row.
Pacific row.
Yeah, and everybody's just oozing hops out of them. Just
smell it.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey there.
Who are we talking to?
My name's Leslie.
Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? Where are you calling from?
I'm actually in Las Vegas. Nevada.
Oh, my favorite place on earth, my friend.
Except it's hot and hotter than hell. Get out.
It is hot. That's why I just stay at the blackjack table when I'm there.
I took the question in about the hops earlier.
Oh, about them being the B3 ones being too hoppy?
Uh-huh.
Okay. John was saying, you know, you've already cut the hops in half?
Uh-huh.
What kind of beer do you like to brew? Give us a style you're talking about.
Oh, I like Guinness. I like porter. I like pale ales.
Okay.
But not too hoppy.
So let's take maybe their pale ale recipe, for example, John, if you can remember what's... Do you have any idea what's in that one, John, off the
it's
top of your head?
Just
let me get the recipe.
All
I get
the
it right
through.
Here.
Cascade all the way through, he says, anyway.
Yeah.
Right, uh-huh.
Would you... John, what would you say to make that less bitter for the guy?
Well, I would say you could even cover it up and have some more malt, you know? Well, I mean...
What kind of water are you brewing with? Tap water? Because if it's hard and high in sulfates...
I do a carbon filtration.
Uh-huh.
Out of tap water.
Right.
But I know Las Vegas water. It's the same as all desert water. It is hard as can be.
I would want to try cutting the water in half with distilled water. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. And because if you have really high sulfates in there, it's going to really make that hop bitterness really harsh and coarse. And... especially if you're telling me that you already cut the hops in half.
Yeah.
Try brewing. Don't brew a straight distilled, but try cutting in half.
Like half and half?
Yeah, do a half and half, and still cut the hops in half, because obviously where you want to be.
Like an ounce of Goldings, which is okay, but the Cascades was like 2 ounces.
Mm-hmm. Well, just the bittering hops. You can leave anything that's... Yeah, you cut it down. Anything that's been in there, more than say 20 minutes.
I got them right here.
You can cut them down.
Cascade and
do what Jamil does. He just throws it in the last 10 minutes. We were talking about that. You know, smoother bitterness, not so harsh.
But you have to then
add more.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's that's bitter as it is. Yeah. Throw them all in at the end. Maybe compensate.
Okay, so you think maybe cut it with distilled water?
Yeah, I would try brewing half and half and see if that makes a big difference. I think that might be an issue.
Yeah.
Plus, I had 2 ounces of Magnum.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that'll do it right there.
Magnum.
And I cut it in half.
To tell you the truth, I do too. On the B3 recipe, I cut the Magnum down by half. And also with a high alpha hop like that, you go over a little bit with a couple of pellets and it... You know, you're pumping in a lot more alphas. Where if you're pumping in something with like a Perlée with 6%,
right?
You can measure out a couple over, and it's not going to make as big a impact as if you're going in with a Magnum.
It's not bad. It tastes like Sierra Nevada ale if you get that. But it's just a tad too much.
I would recommend maybe not even using the Magnum for you. Switch out that Magnum.
Do Centennial for bittering or something.
Yeah, you know? I like using Perlée. Mm-hmm. For bittering.
Chinook's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
So let me put that in perspective. Some of the beers I brew, I use Magnum for bittering. Mm. Mm-hmm. In a 10-barrel batch, I'll use 1 pound.
In 10
for my
barrels.
Bittering, for my bittering edition.
Right.
Yeah, so that's...
I mean, we use a lot of hops on the aroma end, so we'll get some bitterness from there, but that's an aggressive hop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say for anybody who finds any beer hoppy or bitter, just go ahead and take Magnum off your list.
Yeah.
It's a big guy.
I would encourage him to tweak with it, too, because it sounds like he likes maltier beers, porters.
Yeah,
styles.
I do.
See, I mean...
I had a pale ale recipe. I had like 7 pounds of malt extract. I'm kind of extract beer because the room I got, you know.
Right.
And that turned out pretty good with like an ounce and a half of Goldings.
Yeah, so he's more of an English style guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do that water deal that Doc said. Cut that in half and distilled and see what that does for you.
Okay.
But also probably cut your bittering hop in half at the same time.
And the water.
Do the water and cut your bittering hop in half.
Okay, that's cool. An idea. I didn't think of that.
Then, hey, can you wear an extra large?
Probably.
That could be a nightgown.
Well, because I'll send you a bison shirt for calling in, having never talked to you before, you want one.
Got another question for you.
Okay.
Can y'all discuss the differences between the bottling types, like mini kegs versus bottles versus mini taps versus full kegs.
Like different carbonation going on, or?
Oh, no, just different types of bottling.
Sure, we could do that on next show. Just do a little.
Basically, I just like it. I keg because I don't want to do things too many times.
Yeah.
And if I'm using mini kegs.
I'm thinking of mini kegs, but I'm worried about the taste.
Well, they have a lining in them, and after a while, the lining will go away. And
he brings up an interesting point, though. He's having too bitter of a beer, and he's talking about carbonation. I'm wondering if maybe it's overcarbonated, you know? Might be adding more bitterness to
the beer.
Well,
the one I made was okay carbonation-wise, but I'm thinking of convenience because I'm limited in space and funds.
Yeah.
And just don't carbonate.
Drink flat and warm beer.
Yeah. But, you know, as in can't afford an extra refrigerator and can't afford the thermostat and things like that, so I'm thinking, a mini cake could fit in my refrigerator.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have the Tapadraft?
Tapadraft works. It's
cheaper?
It's cheaper. $60, you know.
Not that much cheaper.
4.5 gallons.
You can use 2-liter bottles. Yeah. And you don't have to worry about cleaning the keg, which is hard to do on a mini keg.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But some people swear by the mini keg, so I've...
Or swear at them, I'm sure.
That too.
You know, I would recommend, I don't know if you've posted on our forum, but there's a kegging and equipment thread in there.
I have, but not in that forum.
I'd ask them about it, because you'd be surprised. At least then you get people who have used them, and they can tell you their experience with them.
Yeah.
Cost-wise, mini kegs are not that... Well, you need to put it in the fridge. That might help you to do the mini keg, if you don't want to buy a new fridge and you want to be able to do that.
A new fridge is $100+, and then you get the mini.
Would a 2.5-gallon corny can fit in your fridge there?
Yeah.
Yeah. But those are expensive and hard to find. But they last forever. So you might want to look at that.
Cost what, $80 or $90 plus the fittings?
Yeah. But they're all interchangeable, too. And if you start buying mini kegs, they do wear out and you got to replace them. And you got to buy all the fittings for those, too.
In one hand of blackjack, you can turn $50 into
$100. Yeah.
Well, just put it on red.
Well, I'm an old-time brewer, but it is all bottling, you know, so that kind of...
Well, once you go to keg, and you won't go back to bottling.
It's true. I'm gonna say keg, man.
It's a leap because of the cost of, and that's the big thing, you know, that's the cost of buying all the equipment and things. But you know what? Once you make that leap and you do it, you don't even look back.
Yeah.
You got a dog you can sell or something?
No.
Oh. I'm just kidding, Leslie. All right, we're going to move on. Send me an email, and I'll get you a bison shirt. How about that?
Okay, or I'll tell Daniela.
Okay, or tell Daniela. That will be fine.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Cool. Daniela, what were you trying to tell me? Grab that microphone. I just hung up on him. Oh,
Leslie, I'm sorry. Can you please send Justin an email with your address information? He just hung up on you.
My bad.
Sorry.
Justin at the Brewing Network. Or go to the chat room. Or call back.
Call him an idiot one more time.
That's the fifth time today on my little mouse bone here.
You hit your elbow?
Oh, dang.
Just cuss in German.
All right. Well, I was trying to tell you, retard, that this question of Leslie's with the whole bottling and whole kegging and all those differences, and John put it up instantly with me. He understood me, you know. He gets me there, that it could be an extra show, actually, because many people in the chat room actually were talking about that and saying, that's enough, you know, to talk about for an extra show, retard.
Well, I don't read sign language.
Retard.
Over there.
How come John gets me?
Because John doesn't do anything over there. He just sits there and you can talk to him.
I didn't say anything.
I got to talk to this guy. I got to work this thing.
Yeah, right.
Bah, I got to drink this.
Retard.
Okay. Now you know why I don't talk.
Hard
enough talking over
it. Just opens you up for punishment.
It does.
So one of our shirts has gone to Leslie there in Las Vegas. Is this a Stump the Brewer question here from the chat room?
Yeah.
And Dave G's never won a prize before?
I don't know him,
so. Don't you try to trick us, Dave. John knows your number.
Got your address.
Okay. Here's the... Okay, here's the question for you. I don't know if you've ever heard the show before, Peter, but If you told us you listened to it all the time, we'd feel really good.
I was impressed with Vinny from Russian River's answers on the Stump the Brewer.
Oh, very nice, yeah. Did he get stumped in the end? I think they're relentless. They don't stop until you get stumped, yeah. Basically. Okay, the question for you, if you get stumped, they get the shirt. Dave G here gets the shirt. If you don't get stumped, we need another question. All right. Doc, you know the rules, buddy.
Okay, yeah. Don't turn down my mic.
Yeah. What was the first American brewery to sell beer in cans?
I actually do know that one.
You do? All right, go ahead.
Kruger Brewing Company.
Kruger.
From Newark, New Jersey.
Really? Are they still around?
Are they still around?
I would guess not. She
I don't
doesn't.
Think they are.
She doesn't.
She doesn't know anything. Okay, Dave G, we'll leave it up to you. If that's correct, you're going to have to answer in the chat room there, or we could do a quick search ourselves or something. We'll let it lie till we find out. But if it's correct, he was not stumped. And then we need another question from somebody who has not won a prize.
Yes.
Oz had sent in those questions for you guys a couple weeks ago, remember? I told you about it. He wanted to stump you, Doc, and John. And I lost them. I remember one of them, sort of. You're going to have to send them to me again, Doc, or put them in the chat room. Daniela will write them down.
Pretty good at Jeopardy, so.
Yeah. All right, so what are we drinking right here, Peter?
This is the gingerbread ale. This will be released in early November. So we brewed this, actually. This batch came from an early batch we brewed just for the Great American Beer Festival.
Oh, okay.
So okay. We actually went through 3 kegs of this on the floor, which is pretty good. I was talking with some brewers who say they only bring one. Everyone brings 5-gallon kegs. Just because you only get a 1-ounce pour.
Oh, okay.
And I brought 3 kegs of this and 3 kegs of stout. Ah. And I was like, oh, crap, I'm going to have so much beer left over.
Yeah.
Because
I
talked with so many of my friends who are like, we bring one of everything and we never run out.
Oh.
Well, we ran out of everything.
Wow.
So people dug the gingerbread.
That's nice.
I was noticing the last night there a lot of people are out of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the big night everybody comes. So
yeah, they had record attendance this year, so...
Do you have to buy beer tickets to get those 1-ounce pours, or do you guys just give them away?
No, you get a glass.
You get a glass.
And get in the door.
And drink away.
Okay. Because at Portland, you got to buy a little
tokens.
Wooden coin for every 1-ounce pour.
Yeah.
That's $1 an ounce is what that is.
Yeah,
so think about that. If you poured yourself a 16-ounce glass, I'm thinking that they didn't really do their math here.
Were they really $1 a token?
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I was
drunk.
You
didn't even get a professional discount because you're in the biz.
I didn't get anything.
See,
I'm barely in the biz, right? We're like the dogs of the biz. Yeah. We're the rodents. We're like, yeah, maybe we'll talk to you.
Pretty much half the time.
Although Sean likes us, so that's nice.
Yeah.
He gave us a little plug the
Pete
other day.
He likes us, right?
That was cool. This beer, I'll say right now, and since we were talking about B3 recipes, reminds me of the Christmas beer that you guys have there, because of the nutmeg flavor that comes out of your Christmas. But this is better than that, actually. I brewed it once.
Thank you.
Do you add nutmeg as well, or is that just in the gingerbread?
No, we actually don't add, there's no gingerbread men going into the kettle. It's actually just spices.
Oh, that's weak.
So, no, this beer, it's got ginger and nutmeg and clove and cinnamon and allspice.
Gotcha.
And it's a brown porter base recipe that we boosted the gravity up a little bit to make it more of a winter beer.
Okay.
And it's something that you don't find too much of on the West Coast, like we were talking about with our hoppy beers earlier. It's subtle.
Yeah.
A lot of the spicy beers that come out are just club you over the head kind of spice.
Right.
And we wanted to do something that was fairly restrained but still nice and flavorful and easy to drink. So
yeah.
As our website says, it's sure to smooth out the dinner with the in-laws.
what's the alcohol in this?
We're at 6.8 on this one.
Whew. Yeah, that'll help out. Especially with my family.
Nice dry finish to it, too. Very good.
You like it, John?
Yeah, I do.
Doc?
Like
I said,
I always like these kind of beers. I like pumpkin ale and I like these. I mean, could I knock back a 6-pack? No, but I do enjoy them when I have them.
I can knock back a 6-pack at the holiday dinner, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I think you could do that any day.
Aunt Marcy over there in the corner, yapping away about nothing. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm a big fan of the holiday beers. The Friday after Thanksgiving every year, my dad and my brother and I go to every beer store. I'm from Sacramento, so we go to every beer store in Sacramento and we buy as many holiday beers as we can get our hands on.
Oh.
I mean, we literally fill shopping carts at BevMo and then we go to the other specialty stores and get the stuff they didn't have. And
right.
Just and then we split it up three ways, so we're not all stuck with a six pack of something maybe we don't want to drink. We
have
two beers of each, basically.
And then you just get hammered.
And we just go through them all. It's a race to see who's first one through, because we all live in different cities. So,
Merry Christmas, jackass.
That should be the name of a beer.
Merry
Christmas, jackass.
So this is our holiday offering, and the only reason it's actually around this early, like I said, is because we wanted to bring it to GABF.
Gotcha.
So,
and so you guys are selling this one right now?
Yeah, no, it'll be out in November.
Okay.
We just went to package with it last week, and
so
should be.
We're beta testing this.
Exactly. There you go.
I approve.
I'll actually be I'll be brewing this again. We just brewed it again this week, and I'll brew it again in another 2 weeks. So.
Okay. And where are you putting your spices in on this guy?
We put them in a little bit before the end of the boil.
Okay. So we talking 5 minutes here?
About 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just chuck them all in at once?
Yeah.
How? What? All to get combined? What's the weight on how much you guys are putting in there? Ounces, whatever, approximately.
That's our super secret spice blend.
Is that right?
But it's not much.
Really?
But the thing is, we get our spices from a spice store called the La Sacarnac on Telegraph Avenue.
Okay, in Berkeley.
And they just have fantastic spices. I mean, I made a pumpkin beer at a brew pub that I worked at, and I'm using like half as much of the spice from their spices than I used of grocery store spices for the pumpkin beer.
Okay.
And I'm getting actually more spice flavor.
Gotcha.
What's the name of that place again?
La Sacarnac.
Okay.
Is that one word?
No, it's two. It's like L-A-S-A-K-A-R-N-A-C, I believe.
Gotcha. Right on Telegraph.
Yeah, Telegraph.
Yeah, a couple blocks down from the brewery. So give us a call, set up a tour, and then go load up on spices.
Now, are you guys, you're a brew pub also?
We are not. We are just a microbrewery.
Did you used to be a brew pub?
We did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, we had a restaurant. It closed about 2.5 years ago now.
Okay.
And we just had to focus. All the growth was in the brewing side.
Yeah.
And we just had to stop and do what we do best.
Right.
So.
Well, even the big guys who have brew pubs, like in several locations, they're really only there to promote and feature the beer. They're a marketing tool. None of these guys are making a ton of money on their brew pubs.
Yeah.
Just
that,
so you know.
That is a drawback. It's hard. We like to be able to take people in and have them taste all our beers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, both Dan and I, we're not restaurateurs. We're both brewers. And we want to be making the beer, and we want to be making great beer.
Yeah.
And running the restaurant was a second job. And this way we can just focus on the beer and do what we do best.
Right. If I took a brew tour there, would you let me drink right out of your fermenter?
Yeah, we could do that for you.
Can you swim in the fermenter?
Yeah. Can I just like put my mouth underneath the nozzle? You just pour it right in?
I'll hold your feet up.
You have a problem, Justin. You seriously do.
I know. was the stump question?
Yes, he was correct.
He was correct.
How many people could you handle on a tour?
The brewer was correct.
Is this from the same person?
No, this one is actually from our phone call friend from last week, Jack.
This is from Jack.
Mm-hmm. He has never won a prize, so he
Jack
is allowed to
prize.
Play.
Okay. He's going to want to pick it up himself, John.
Good. Yeah, he can just go to
John's house.
B3 or John's house.
B3.
Give you house.
Yeah, pretty
That's
much.
True.
Okay. What year, Peter, did Coors finally get sold east of the Mississippi? I told you, they're relentless, man.
My a friend of mine's father was in the military, and he remembers when he was in Vietnam, it was such a treat for them to get a pallet of Coors, because back then that was the craft beer.
Oh, right.
And he actually told me he was stoked when he got back into the States, and he was going to school on the East Coast, and after 1981, he was able to...
Are you serious?
No way.
You're joking, right?
No. He was able to get it. He was able to get it east of the Mississippi.
The man says 1981. So
that's awesome,
Jack. You're going to have to confirm or deny that in the chat room. Wow, and with authority you say it too.
Authority. I thought you were pulling that out of your ass,
man.
I was in Michigan visiting relatives, and I just jokingly tried to order a Coors, and they looked at me.
Yeah.
Not unless you want to drive, honey. So, and that was about 1980.
Right. So. Man, Peter just said, F you.
He
listeners.
Brought it home there.
Yeah, he's right.
He's right. 1981. He is not stumped, which means the prize is still open.
We could be here all night long.
Yeah. Well, just for now, and fancy Moomoo Pants knows that he's not allowed to play, but he still wants to stump the brewer.
Okay, that's
so
fair.
So for now, the question is, what month marks the beginning of Bavaria's fifth season? Hmm. And me, as a Bavarian, born and raised in Munich, I did not know.
I actually read about this somewhere just last week.
Did you?
I don't know the month, but I just was reading about the fifth season there.
They need a fifth season?
They do everything better, somehow. Remember, it's weird like that.
It's directly related to beer, this fifth season. And I really did not know. So if you don't know that, no worries. I didn't know it either.
No, I don't know. It's a good thing it's just for fun, then.
It's an unofficial question.
No, it's just for fun, Fancy Moo Moo.
March.
And what's the answer?
May.
The answer is Dr. Scott May.
Yeah, May.
It's for the May book, and that's why they call it the fifth season.
I would have said October.
That's why Doc's not allowed to answer.
Yeah, that would have made sense to me for the Oktoberfest. And I thought, maybe it's the Oktoberfest, but May. But Maybock is good, too, so it makes sense. And Fancy's other question was, just for fun, of course, do you know who set up the German Reinheitsgebot beer purity law in 1516?
That's the one from Oz, right?
Yeah, that's the one from Oz, too.
Is this another one that's not a candidate for a t-shirt?
Actually, this one is for John and Dr. Scott. He wanted me to ask this one of you guys.
So
this is Stump the Brewcasters here.
I do know the answer to this one.
You do?
Yeah.
You're fantastic, really. We haven't had a brewer who got this 1981 answer with Coors was just incredible. I thought it was awesome.
John, you're straining over there. I think your head's going to explode.
Yeah, really.
Do you know the question?
I don't know.
Doc, you want to take a stab?
I can't recall. I did read it.
I'll give you a hint. It's a German name.
Well, yeah.
He was a duke.
Yeah, I know. It was a duke.
Duke.
Well, Wilhelm.
Duke.
There you go.
Yeah. Got it.
Doc got it. Duke Wilhelm.
Look at this guy.
I think the deal was, if I remember right, Oz, if they were not stumped, you would donate $10 to Crotch Rot's video. So Doc was not stumped. He said Duke Wilhelm.
I thought it was 20.
I think he actually had two questions, and it might have been 10 for each. I don't know if that's still the deal, Oz, but Doc was not stumped, so if that's the deal, you owe
Crotch
$10. Yeah,
I'm a trivia whore.
You are.
I won some things at NHC, NCHF, because they had a trivia thing in one booth about the Statue of Liberty, so I go in about every 15 minutes and win something. So.
Hey, Daniela, I forgot to tell you, one of our listeners, I think it might have been Warren's wife, said that she loves you and thinks that you are great on the show.
What?
She said that that girl you have on the show is just great.
Oh, that makes me want to cry. I never get told nice stuff.
She had nothing to say about the show except that that girl you have on the show is just great.
Which is me.
That's you.
Oh, thank you so much. So thank you for telling me.
It makes her less angry. At you.
No, it makes. I'm just as angry as Justin as I always am. That's never gonna get better. Well, anyway, I have a new Stump the Brewer question from Code Right and Fool. Have we ever given a prize to him, John, our controlling guy?
I'm pretty. Ask Code. He'll be honest with us. I'm pretty sure he's won.
Code Right and Fool.
Let him ask the question. Go ahead and ask the question while he's answering whether he's won from us or not. I'm pretty sure we sent him a prize. Or at least we owe him a prize. I think I've got a shirt here for him.
So the question for the brewer Code Right and Fool gave to us is, what percentage of hops is ash?
Is ash?
Yeah. Oh.
I don't understand that question.
Neither do I. A-S-H. Ash, right?
Yeah.
Is there a percentage of it? Doc, do you know where this question stems from?
Does he mean the vegetable stuff?
It just says here, ask him what percentage of hops is ash.
Have him clarify, as in carbon?
What are the new hops you can get? It's C48, the ones that are mostly not vegetable matter. It's a lot less vegetable matter because most of the hops are...
I just asked him to make it a little
C45.
Clearer.
All right, we'll wait on that.
Does he mean that?
Should we try another beer while we're waiting on that?
Beer schnapps.
We got it. Oh,
beer schnapps,
right.
That I want to try too.
Tell us about this, Doc. We have some beer schnapps here. That was this just given to you?
Yeah, actually, Shay gave it to me. He's one of my friends from B3. He does a lot of wine, mm-hmm. and him and I are Scotch whores together. So
yeah, nice. You are.
Yes, we are. So
Doc dipped into the Scotch last night after drinking beer all day. Busts out all his 20-year-old Scotch stash, probably older than that even, huh?
Yeah, I had 23-year-old that was there and a few other ones.
Oh, that's great.
And this is home?
No, this is basically, it's a California pale ale that's been distilled.
Really?
It's got a very unique flavor to it, and one of the ones I was drinking last night was a guy, he distilled his own, and it tasted just like this.
Oh, okay. And now, the distilling process makes it clear?
Yeah.
Because the guy's last night wasn't clear.
He put it in oak, though.
As soon as it's oaked, it picks up color.
When you distill it, it's that. And actually, they're allowed to add caramel coloring to scotch.
Because
once you filter it, too.
But anything that's distilled is clear.
No, not necessarily. Depends on what how high of alcohol content you're trying to get out of it.
Okay.
But the higher if you're doing vodka and things, yeah, it's going to be clear.
It's going
to
be clear.
But with a scotch or bourbon, you really want to try to pull it off. And it usually does come off pretty clear. Mm. And most of the color does come from the barrel.
Okay. All right, so this was distilled from a pale ale.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to give it a try.
And it's got a unique kind of, because it tastes like hops, and it's a really unique flavor, too, if you distill hops.
Here's yours, angry Daniela.
And let me go get another glass.
Oh, sorry. Did I give away the
glass? So while Dr. Scott is getting another glass, I want to say that Fancy Moo Moo, so Ozbrew, just did something great. He said he wants to ask another Stump the Brewer question.
Uh-huh.
And if the brewer gets it right, then he is actually going to donate $50 American, right, Fancy, to the Red Cross.
To the Red Cross.
Uh-huh. Which I think is totally awesome.
That is very awesome. So the pressure's on now, Peter, because you're talking about saving lives here, buddy.
Absolutely. All right. So
you got to get all those dogs
off roofs. Actually, I think
it's
a very interesting question, too. So the question is, what brewery first used crown seals on the beer bottles?
Oh, I knew this one. I was just talking to somebody about this.
Uh-oh.
I don't remember what it was. Right.
You think, and we're going to drink this schnapps. We'll give you a little time on that because this is important.
It's best served a really cold like it is. It's really...
You're trying to kill us, Doc.
Well, slowly.
Yeah.
It does actually... Well, it smells like paint.
Oh,
like hoppy paint.
Yeah.
All right, I'm throwing it back. Did you already taste this? You're not allowed to cheat, Peter.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
I like it.
I had a stuffy nose.
It's beer schnapps.
Okay, so we just drank beer schnapps.
I've never heard of beer schnapps before. That's really great.
It's quite strong.
Yeah. Well, it's 80 proof.
Oh, that's not that strong. It tastes...
This is nice and smooth.
It's totally smooth. For a schnapps, it's totally smooth, I think.
Yeah.
So what is it exactly?
Basically, they brew a beer. And they run it through the distiller, and it pulls off the alcohol, mostly, and a lot of the flavors.
And that's all you drink?
Yeah. Well, it depends on where you cut it. If you cut it, you got to cut it early and late to get more of the flavor compounds. If you cut it in the middle, when it's coming across, it's all alcohol, and then you just get vodka. So you want to get the flavor compounds coming through.
Is that like cut and crack and stuff, where some people just put baking soda in there?
No, that's just to boost the yield and your return.
Not that I've ever cut crack.
How do you know that, Doc?
Yeah.
I read.
Yeah.
The same way that Peter was brewing when he was 20. He brewed, yet he did not ever taste his own beer.
Vibe.
Not a drop.
Yeah. Dad, how's this
beer? You can brew at 18, right?
Yeah, you can.
It never came up. In fact, the owner of that particular, I was hired by the head brewer. Hmm. And there was one night where we were working a late bottling shift. We were there till like 2 in the morning just trying to get this order out. And at the end of the day, he said, good work, guys. You know, go in the back, take home a case.
Mm.
And I said, even me?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, yeah, go get one. And I said,
okay.
You know I'm not 21, right? And he goes, oh, yeah, don't do that.
Right.
And that was how the owner found out that his head brewer had hired an underage brewer.
Right. But did that cause, did you then get fired the next day?
No. He was,
I was just talking to somebody about, maybe it was Jamil, maybe, but about you can brew it. At 18.
Yeah, that's he was in here saying that. And, and you can, you know, like you can go
just
to
can't
the,
taste it.
To the beer shop and just buy all the supplies you want.
You could be schlepping all the stuff around and making this and making that. But
Yeah. Did we find out if Code had never...
Yeah, I'm writing.
Still waiting?
No, it is here. It's just a long thing. It's a long, long sentence, so I'm just writing it down for you, okay?
But Code already asked the question.
Code asked the question, and Crotch answered sort of, and what they're getting at. Okay?
No, the question, Daniela...
The Ash question.
Oh, that one. No, we're back on the Crown label.
The Crown... What about the Crown
the
question
crown.
From Code?
And is he eligible?
No, the Crown question was from Fancy Moomoo, and he's going to donate money if you guys don't...
Okay.
If you guys get
it. Okay. Do you have an answer for that, Peter?
I do not. I'm letting down all of the dogs and just, hey, pets trapped on roofs
just guess.
Everywhere.
Man.
Just guess.
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
You know, this is going to be... You're not going to be able to sleep tonight. A hippie like you, knowing that you just let down all those dogs.
I would say when they burn all the stems. You know, they take the tree after they pick.
Well, you can lay ash, too, when you plant the rhizomes.
Is it a fertilizer?
Yeah. But I don't know what percentage was what the question was. Like.
What about... I thought the question for this particular one was the crown question.
And we're back on the crown question.
Yeah.
He's trying
to get away from that one.
Yeah. The crown question is the save little puppies question. Right, Daniela?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Red Cross saving puppies is the crown question. And I have to say, you will have had to have not cheated to get this answer.
No, I'm cheating my ass off and I can't find it.
And you can't find it. He's got a laptop in front of him. I'm sticking up for you, Oz. Don't worry. But you can't find it anyway.
I was cheating for the puppies.
Yeah.
It's for the puppies.
I'm going to try to read this, but Daniela writes in hieroglyphics. So, on account of the rapid is this the answer or the question? Is it the answer or the question? On account of the rapid change in the odor of hops, the recently dried fruits should alone be used. These may be recognized by the characteristics odor and distinctly greenish color. Hops yield about 7% of ash. None of that makes a word of sense to me.
I don't understand.
Did that come out of the chat room, or did you find that online somewhere?
Chat room. That was the chat room. It's hard to elaborate in the chat room because you have to ask in choppy questions and choppy sentences.
They should call.
We're just going to... Yeah, you can call up if you want. Otherwise, we're going to move on.
And Coach just gave me the clue that he's referring to chemical constituents.
Constituents.
Chemical constituents of hops. Now, you guys, do you know it or not?
I am so confused right now.
No, I don't even remember what the question is.
Gosh, you guys.
Well, I don't know who stumped him. What was the ash? Ash was the question from Code.
The ash would be the stump.
But
was
it wasn't a
question.
Clear question,
well,
Code.
Yeah,
and I'm
answer.
Pretty sure we gave Code a prize.
No, he didn't, actually.
It's in the mail or something. He said he's never earned one.
No, he says he has never won anything. He called in once, but he didn't win anything then.
All right. We'll give it to him. He can have it. How about that?
That sounds good.
You all right with that, Peter?
That's fine with me.
Code,
I would think...
Code deserves it anyway. He helps us out.
Mr. Moomoo out there would throw a softball question for all the stranded animals. But
Yeah.
Selfish.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good point, Peter.
So it's, hey,
jerk.
Got all those animals and just threw them out the window.
That's how
it's
Peter's going to sleep tonight.
Not an animal lover.
I didn't ask the question, so I'll sleep fine.
All right. Shall we taste another beer before we go? Because we're going to wrap it up. We've given away everything.
Yeah, I've got my last beer here is our Belgian ale. It's a strong blonde.
I like those.
It's not quite a triple. It finishes a little sweeter than a triple, so I'm not comfortable calling it that.
So it's a double?
A strong blonde.
No, it's strong blonde. It's real light like a triple. It finishes fairly sweet. We brew it with coriander, and we use, in a 20-barrel batch, we use 350 pounds of organic cane juice.
Okay.
Which actually comes crystallized, which is the closest we can get to a Belgian candy sugar and still meet our organic requirements.
Gotcha. And so, where are you putting that in?
That goes right into the kettle.
Okay.
So...
While we're pouring this, would you be willing to give away a recipe for people to brew at home of a beer of your choosing?
That might take a minute. Let me...
That'd be okay. It's pretty much a rhetorical question, because if you say no, we're going to berate you from now until you leave.
I will. I can't guarantee I can't guarantee that it will be one of our commercial beers, because that would just take too much calculation in the short time to shrink it down.
That's okay. Even if it's a good homebrew that you've made that you really like, that'd be a cool recipe to give out.
I make a best bitter. That's one of my favorite summer beers, actually.
Okay.
Because it's, I'm trying to see if I have this on my computer here.
Take your time. We're going to drink your beer. I don't think we've ever given away a bitter recipe on here. No one's ever given that, so that'd be perfect.
It's a really nice one because it's really light, and it's not quite the lawnmower beer, like a light lager or something of that nature that's just kind of poundable and cold. Mm. It still has some cold flavor to it, but it's light enough that you can just – and it's light enough and it's low enough in alcohol you can drink it all night long.
Okay.
So it's the definition of a session beer.
I like that because I often end up drinking all night long, and it's tough to find a beer you can do that with. You know what I'm saying,
John? It's the difference between walking and rolling.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's bugged you that you couldn't find one you could do that.
Yeah, I'll just, all right, this isn't really one I can drink all night long. I'll do it anyway. Yeah. Is what ends up happening.
The schnapps was good.
I'm surprised you even drank it. Usually you like...
I sipped it, but I'm not.
What do you guys think of this Belgian?
I like it. It's not as dry as a triple.
Is there coriander in this?
It's kind of the same flavor profile.
Yeah, and we get the coriander from the same spice shop that I was saying.
You do.
Where we do the gingerbread.
Do you grind the coriander, or do you put them in whole?
They grind it for us.
Okay.
And they move
really taste that.
Yeah, they move through their spices fast.
This is one of the better ones I've had, I'm going to say.
Yeah, Belgians are hard to do well and not to have them overly spicy and stuff.
Is it that sweet profile that you guys are talking, that I'm tasting, that you guys are saying it's not as dry as a triple?
Yeah.
Because it's left with that sweet taste?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then the coriander, you can really taste it. Coriander's kind of got a citrusy kind of taste to it.
Yeah.
Take another sip and run it past your tongue, and you really get the coriander off of it. It's that citrusy kind of flavor.
Yeah. Mm. I have just started to enjoy Belgians since the Vinny show, actually, because he brought in those awesome ones. And one of the things I actually have trouble with is that the very dry finish on them. So this, to me, maybe that's why I think this is one of the better ones I've had, because I enjoy that little bit of sweetness to handle the bitterness, too. You know what I mean? You guys have no idea what
How
I
old
mean.
Is this beer?
I just stopped listening.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I was like, yeah.
It's probably only a couple
you
months.
You and the rest of our listeners, too.
How old is he?
A couple of months.
Turn
of
off
months.
My own microphone.
Yeah, that would be funny. Mute yourself.
I don't think so.
What was your gravity on the spear?
No one can hear you.
This one is 1070.
I can.
1070.
I'll actually do this recipe if you want. I can't find my best bit of recipe, so...
You'll do the strong blonde recipe?
Yeah.
Everyone needs a strong blonde around the house.
It's nice. It's a great beer, especially for, I can think of several lady friends of mine who are not fans of, who don't like beer.
Mm-hmm.
And they just go nuts on this beer just because it's sweet, it's strong, it's not, it's kind of fruity. The yeast, the Belgian ale yeast throws some plum character in there, so.
So let me get this straight. You bring over to your house women who don't like to drink and you get them hammered on this.
Oh yeah. So here's a beer.
That's what I heard anyway.
Too.
Not just one. I'm not sure that's exactly how I would describe it.
Right.
Sure.
All right.
I'm there and I provide options.
Yeah. Right.
God knows we like options.
Well, whatever helps, man. Yeah. I'm with you. All right, go ahead. Give us that recipe. Give it a little slow.
We can do it all in percentage terms.
Daniela, can you type this as he says it?
Yeah, sure.
Try it.
We can do this with percentages. That way, if you do 5, 10, or 15-gallon batches, you can just scale it wherever you want it.
Okay.
We do a 72.5% two-row.
What?
72.5% sign?
2-ROW.
Two-row. Two-row. Row. Like row.
ROW. It's never going to work. She can hardly speak English.
Well, I'm still moving out.
She says she's out of here now. All right, go ahead.
You want that ride in the Hummer then, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll load it up.
I'll take you home.
give her some Belgian triple.
Got it. Yeah.
1.8% caramel 60.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
See? Got it.
And 25.6% cane juice.
Cane.
Give, John, will you give her the microphone so we can hear this so the listeners know what's happening over there?
Cane juice.
C-A-N-E.
And if you want, you can use a light Belgian candy sugar. But like I said, we have problems securing that and having it organic. The cane juice is still crystallized, so we get kind of those same flavors going on.
Okay. So regular, so cane sugar will be fine if you don't want to do it organic.
I wouldn't use cane sugar because you can get a real cidery character using that.
Okay.
The cane juice, the first time I went and bought it, I was expecting to pick up buckets of it. Like I was expecting it to be juice.
Juice, yeah.
It's actually crystals.
Okay.
So, so that's what we use just because of our restrictions. Yep. But like I said, if you use a light Belgian candy sugar, it'll do the same thing.
Which is beet. Okay. Beet sugar.
Yep.
Okay. Go on.
And that's the malt bill.
Okay.
And then for hops, there's, I'm trying to think of how to do this because.
Just tell them the IBUs and,
yeah.
Then, and then.
Shoot for 22 IBUs.
Okay.
Huh?
22 IBUs.
I got that.
Okay.
That's what you're going for in your hop bill. By the way, if you're not in the chat room, this is where it's all being typed if you're not writing it down yourself.
And somebody can probably post it on the
22
forum.
22 yeah. LB what?
IBUs.
Oh, IB. IB? Really?
IB. International Bittering Units.
Ah, thank you. See, that helps.
Yeah.
And spell
Peter,
that hop,
stop. We want to keep her in the dark. No more elaborating.
You don't even talk to me anymore, dude.
Yeah, she's moving out.
Yeah.
So moving out.
What happened?
John wants to know what's going on here. Okay.
All right, go on.
And probably, let's see. I'm not even sure how to tell you how much coriander to use here.
Some.
We do. Yeah, some.
It's a good amount.
A pinch.
Give me 1 second. I can do a quick calculation and figure it out per gallon.
It's tough with the coriander because it's a flavor that's so borderline not good.
It's pungent. It's pungent.
Yeah.
I grind it up and then you get that whiff in your nose.
Yeah. But you like Belgians, John. And you're saying I don't like it? No. Do you not like this beer?
Oh, I like it.
You like this one?
I would finish the beer with about 4 grams of coriander.
Okay. In.
Yeah, 4 grams. Sorry, 4 grams per gallon.
4 grams per gallon. Okay. That sounds like a lot to me, but what do I know? Oh, that's only. Oh, yeah. I guess you're right. You're right. Okay.
I'm already being offered bedrooms, by the way, Justin.
What'd you say?
I'm already being offered bedrooms.
I bet you are.
probably far and wide,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Is that all with the coriander? That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, what about the hop bill, though? What kind of hops? Did we get into that?
I use Magnum just for bittering.
Okay.
There's really no there's no flavor or aroma. Yeah. It's all okay. The coriander in the finish.
Really?
The Belgians will age their hops for so long. Mm. They'll age them for 2-3 years before they actually put it into their beer. So a lot of those aromatic qualities are gone.
What kind of aging do they do? Just sitting in a warm room?
Sitting in an open, warm farmhouse.
They let it oxidize.
No kidding.
Yeah. Let it oxidize.
Get nice and cheesy.
Yeah. Nice.
So I
like you.
Kind of circumvent that and just not use them.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, so there you go. That's for a strong blonde. Not exactly a triple, but it's a Belgian for sure,
and it's
a strong blonde.
Pick your favorite Belgian ale yeast. You can't get the one that I use because it's our yeast. So
okay.
You know, pick an Abbey or a triple or just something from your local homebrew store.
Okay. There you go.
Something that'll handle a 1070 beer.
Okay. Got to be a big one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. It's good beer.
What temperature do you ferment at?
We do 68. We actually do a little colder than a lot of folks. So I've seen people that ferment these Belgians as high as 78 degrees, just trying to get that big fermentation character. But like I said, our beers, we really try and keep them balanced and keep them restrained and just keep them drinkable. So if we had the really harsh clove phenolic or something in this beer, I think it would be I think it wouldn't be as smooth.
So I don't think this beer would handle it. And you would probably lose all the coriander flavor out of it because the clove would just overpower it.
It's good.
So this was something I was actually looking forward to talking about at the Northern California Homebrewers Convention.
Mm.
the topic was supposed to be the future of brewing. And
oh, okay.
I remember when I was first working at that at the brew pub, it was in 1999, and I wanted to make a Belgian ale.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner just flat told me, said, we've made them, they don't sell.
Oh.
And I went to other breweries. I was traveling all over the country at that time, going to different brew pubs and stuff, and they were telling me the same, basically the same story. We
right.
make it and it doesn't sell. I like to drink it, but I can't, you know, I can't drink 15 barrels of Belgian beer by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I think it's great.
Me neither.
Yeah. It's a tall
we
challenge.
We tried last night.
Yeah.
It's a tall challenge.
Yeah.
But I think it's great that, I mean, the Belgian's one of our regular beers. It's not a seasonal that we do. It's in our regular lineup, and it's around, and it sells fairly well. And I think it's great that the industry has moved in such a direction that I can make a beer like this, and it's received.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I actually appreciate that about Vinny in what he's trying to do, in that he's really making a whole lineup of these things, and kind of at the risk of, obviously everybody knows he's pushing the envelope in that sense, but at the risk of not selling any beer, he's brewing several beers that that people are saying don't sell. And that's helping people like you guys out.
I was sitting at the bar. No, absolutely. Vinny was, he does some great, great stuff. And, I was sitting at the bar of his place, and you see these guys come in that are just total blue collar, just got off work. You know, you're
Budweiser
in my
guys.
Mind, exactly. You're, yeah. you're picturing them drinking one of the big, one of the big beers.
Yeah.
And they sit down and they'll order Damnation.
Right.
You know, they get, and it's obvious at his pub because all the Belgian beers go in a chalice or they go in a tulip. I mean, they go in Belgian beer glasses. And
yeah.
These guys are coming in and they're drinking Belgian ales, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah. So. That's cool. He's created his own niche
changing
up
the
there.
World.
Yeah.
Which is what you got to do to find a little something, John.
What's that?
I like you.
Thanks, buddy.
That's
all
not what
right.
He said about you.
So are we ready to get out? Daniela has something to say. Go ahead.
Did you guys ever want to hear the answer to Fancy Moo Moo Pen's question?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the question,
yeah,
Justin?
Because
you have this dumb look
first,
on your face.
It was the first brewery to use crown seals.
Very good. And
okay.
The answer is Forex Castle Mine Brewery in Brisbane, Australia. Now you guys know.
Now we know. Now you'll never
painfully
forget again.
But we know.
Yeah. And all those little puppies are going to die now.
Yeah.
Puppies on roofs.
Puppies on roofs.
So everyone wanted to hear that song we played. Not everyone, I'm sure, but I don't really want to do it, John.
No, we'll do it. We got to practice and get some real words to it.
It's going to be bad news if we do it. John's ready. I'm not ready.
I'm ready.
Do it.
All right, here we go.
John's going to do it for you.
Beer dork song.
Mm-hmm.
The beer dork song. You played it last night.
Yeah, that was I was drunk.
We were really.
Everybody was into it.
Oh yeah, it sounded great last night. Although not to the camps next to us, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure you observed the posted signs that quiet time was after 8 p.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We also observed things being thrown at us. But what are you going to do? We were having a good time, and that's what counts.
I threw a rock at Mike Dole's tent last night.
Yes, Daniela, do you have more to say?
You got up and out early.
Daniela's waving goodbye to all of her friends at home, and believe me, you're her friends, not mine, you vultures.
Wow. We have our own, like, beer soap opera.
Just dishing it back.
Yeah.
Thank
Although
you.
Beer Paul is the only person I don't like in a chat anymore. He called me fat.
I call you fat all the time.
Well, it's a difference because you're stupid. But Beer Paul, I thought he was nice, but he calls me fat and that's just not okay. He called me a strong blonde.
That doesn't mean you're fat.
Yeah, I know what it means, dude. I know what strong means in America.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean you're fat.
No, that's not what it means. It means you're a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's all right with that.
That's pretty much
it. Oh, wow.
It.
I feel like I got to give you the microphone here.
Yeah. Well, thank you to the chat room for hanging out as always and participating. I got a couple shirts to send out, which means John has a couple shirts to send out. What's going on next week around here, John?
Pacific Coast.
Pacific Coast.
Yeah.
Do you know the name of the brewer right offhand? I don't.
I don't either.
Stumped.
Yeah.
I'm easily stumped these days.
Yeah. What's your name?
Peter could probably pull it up real quick.
Yeah, he could.
That's all right. Pacific Coast Brewery, and they're an all extract commercial brewery.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that show. I think it's going to be good. And is it next week that you're not with
us? Yeah, I won't be here next week.
Doc will not be with us next week. So
that's right, I can cover.
Oh, sorry, John. I didn't mean to laugh so hard.
Yeah. The whole studio did.
Yeah. No, John will do just fine. And
one word answers.
Yeah.
What I do these days.
Let's just say we won't be playing Beer Jeopardy next week, right?
I can call in.
Yeah, maybe you should call in.
Okay.
It's your birthday next week, right?
Yes, it is.
Happy birthday early.
Thank you.
Call us in. We'll make funny and say happy birthday on
the sing the Beer Dork birthday song.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Next week, Pacific Ridge, all extract commercial. So those of you extract folks out there like myself going to get a lot out of that show, hopefully. We'll see. Anybody, have you had any of their beer?
Never.
I used to go to their brew pub a lot. It's in Oakland.
Oh, okay.
Throw back a couple.
I think it would cost more to run an extract brewery. I mean,
well, his point is that he doesn't want to put the money into the equipment to go to all grain because he's always kind of done this one.
Yeah. Gotcha.
It's faster too.
Yeah,
you don't have to wait for it to mash.
Yeah,
run off
and stick to what you're good at, right? Too. And like if he's good at doing it,
some pretty good ones. So,
so there you go. All right. There's plenty of stuff you can do without altering your grain bill that much, right?
Sure.
You know, adjuncts, for example.
Can we even talk about that?
Yeah. Well, Peter, personally, I had a really good time on this show. I appreciate the organic deal that you guys are doing, and I also appreciate you guys making a bunch of weird stuff that happens to come out good at the same time.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. This has been a blast.
Cool. Well, I hope you come back, not only because of all that, but you know your stuff, man.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I have so much useless knowledge rattling around in this head that it's worth something for,
right.
If nothing, for bragging rights.
Well, that explains why you are somebody's brewer at 20 years old. I mean, that's a success story right there. So I think, I don't know, I see good things for you and hopefully Bison as well in the future. I wish you luck. And hopefully you'll come back and hang out with us.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
All right, cool. So there you go, guys. Everybody happy?
I'm happy.
Except for Daniela, of course.
Doesn't matter.
She's just unhappy with you. See, I called her a bitch, and she still loves me.
Don't poke the bear.
Yeah. Doc, did you have to fight with your wife to get back here? You came home from the festival.
I came home. I had about 2 hours. I took care of I played with the boys and took them out and got them all tired and dirty, and then left and came over here.
You could possibly still make it to put them to sleep. So
yes, I can.
That might make up for it, right?
Reading the story.
You're still in trouble.
Still in trouble.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week. It's been the Brewing Network. We've had Peter from Bison Brewing in Berkeley. You can click their link right off of our site to check it. It's right on the front page. That'll be there for another few days, as usual. Or you can go to, I think, www.bisonbrew.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, you can check it out there. And it's a cool website because it describes a lot of their beers right there and easy to use. So check them out. And if you're in the Northern California area, you can do a tour right there in Berkeley.
Yeah, just call ahead, look at the phone number off the website. We also have a blog that we started recently, too, talking about all the different festivals we're at and new beer releases and stuff. And it's just bisonbrew.blogspot.com.
I expect to see us mentioned in that blog, Peter.
Oh, I got my camera here. We'll get you guys in that.
All right, cool.
Oh, wait, you have to say something like Peter Griffin.
Yeah, you too.
Did you guys see that?
I saw that.
I read that, and that man is absolutely right. Sometimes I sound like that idiot, Peter Griffin, on The Family Guy. If you haven't watched The Family Guy, watch it. One of the funniest shows on television. And I said the comment in particular they're saying I sound like him in is that I was talking about funny things and whether or not they're funny. And I basically said on one of our shows, it's funny because I say it's funny. And if I say it's funny, it's funny. I do sound like that guy, actually.
It's some anger, man.
Between him and that goober on Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'm a mess, man. I'm like both of them.
You're awesome.
But I don't care. Thank you, Daniela.
Oh,
Daniela wants to hurry up. Do it quick. Try to wrap it up. Daniela wants to measure our brewer's beer belly because we are keeping a running log so that next time you come on, Peter, we'd like
belly
to
belly log.
Yeah, we'd like to blog. See some advancement in your growth. Basically.
35.
Yeah. All right.
35 inches.
Right.
You don't think that's right, huh?
What was Vinny?
40-something.
Yeah. Vinny had a nice
look
one.
It,
no, he doesn't.
You don't look 39.
I don't. Yeah, thanks, buddy. Yeah. What did Sean have? Do you remember Sean O'Sullivan?
Oh, you wrote it down, dude.
Oh.
I'm wearing a couple t-shirts at the same time.
Yeah, that's what it is. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Pale ale is a friend of mine, and I sure like good barley wine. Chocolate porter, cherry stout, don't you know what I am talking about? Don't you give me that American crude, boy, I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love it? Homebrew, can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all the time. Yeah, I think I have me. Well, I have the one right now. Know how to get down. Double and triple on my best friend. I think I'll have them all over again. But don't you give me that American truth. More than one, a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love that homebrew? Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all the time. Yeah, I think I'll have it. Well, I'll have it one right now. A bark will do me when the skies are gray. I'll take a Belgian brew at a time. And the women say the lambic fine. But don't you give me that American crude. Boys, I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love that homebrew? Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all the time. Yeah, I think I'll have it. Well, I'm the one right now. Cherry stout, yeah, you know what I am talking about. But don't you give me that American crude, boys, I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love that homebrew? Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love